Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Buddy. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium.
I like summer. The new opens, Freddie.
Summer's here. Yeah, you like that?
Yes,
yeah,
thanks to our fans. Here. But I like the new opens.
Tomash did that.
That we're mixing in.
Right, he's a fan. He doesn't really work for the show because you don't allow him to.
Well, he works for
what, the shots just start like 30 seconds in. Bang.
I actually didn't mean mine as a shot. I was legitimately saying I like the opens.
Wow.
But I like the shot that Eric took.
It's getting to be about 90 degrees here in Foxborough. Summer is...
Perfect for the OT.
It's kind of mild, right?
Knocking on the door here.
Yeah.
No, I would say this is hot. This is not mild. This is unseasonably hot, isn't it?
For May? May. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you said, who said it? Just in time for the OTAs?
Yeah, I said it.
Tomorrow
I said it. What are you going to do about it?
They start up. We'll get a little...
they started yesterday, but we'll get a chance to see it tomorrow.
Well, we have access tomorrow.
We have access tomorrow for the OTAs, but everybody's here.
Although Nesson...
No, young guys.
Nesson had a source that they did a whole story on yesterday's OTAs.
Yeah, I was wondering how they got all that.
Who was there, who wasn't.
Really?
Jersey numbers, all kinds of nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
How'd they get all that?
I don't know.
They quoted an unnamed source.
Really?
In the Patriots organization.
In the Patriots organization.
I believe that's what they said. I mean, it had to be because...
Well, the uniform numbers are kind of... I mean, that's out there. But all the other stuff, I don't know how they knew exactly who was on the field. There was younger guys, rookies, first, second-year players, and maybe some newcomers to the organization. But same as they did last year, if you recall. Fred Taylor was out there as a... the lone veteran of the
was
group
he?
Because he was.
I heard Torrey Holt
to
was here.
Holt, David Patton.
He would be the Fred Taylor of last year.
Oh, okay.
But not a lot of veterans out there at all.
Yeah.
In terms of what's going on so far.
Brady was not there, according to this Nesson report. But he wasn't asked to report to Gillette until at least next week, according to the unnamed source.
I'd like to know who this unnamed source is.
I would too.
Especially, of all the places, giving it to Nesson. That doesn't make sense.
No.
Maybe he was the only one who asked.
Maybe. All right.
I don't know anything about it, though. It's a kind of an odd. I heard a little snippet of that on the radio when I was driving home yesterday, and I thought it was odd.
We're here until 2 o'clock, taking your calls and emails. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Andy's out today.
Good.
Was he on vacation?
He's going to take some Tuesdays off, I believe, which I don't
Tuesdays
like.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
I'm not happy with that. Tuesdays Who and knows? Fridays because it's times that his wife is also off. But I'm not happy with that, Fred. I'm really. Yeah. I think
Who
you need
approved
to
that one?
Well, why didn't you need to put your foot down? Because I'm not in charge of people.
You're the editor.
I'm the editor. I'm not
you
the boss.
You've got to take
responsibility, you're the boss.
Paul.
I'm the editor. I'm not the boss.
You're
he doesn't
boss.
Need the info.
I'm going to be.
The boss.
I don't need the info.
I'm going to be stepping back. A little bit.
You've been stepping back.
You're going to be relinquishing some of your responsibilities.
You're almost ready to fall off the cliff.
Pretty soon, I'm not going to come to the show. I'm not going
to
go to practice. Training camp's off limits.
I'm actually looking to do less. Yeah. I don't know if you know.
I'm going to be stepping back. You need to pick up some responsibility, which includes keeping Hart in line.
Really?
Yeah.
He's in line.
I don't know.
Although I did tell Eric as we were
Did you notice that? Not Andy. You're going to have to keep Hart in line.
I made sure that, I devoured Pro Football Talk this morning before the show, and
right.
I looked at some other things because Andy's not here. I thought football may come up.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure I was as prepared as possible.
Right.
Although I don't have the...
We run the risk of talking football on this show.
I don't have the information necessarily about the votes that are taking place in Dallas.
Well, it's a good... On the table is the owners' meetings going on right now in Dallas, and of course there's a number of topics on the table. One is they're taking a vote on 2014 site for the Super Bowl, I believe. And
that's yep, correct.
That's right.
And there's a big lobby going on for the new Meadowlands Stadium. We'll talk about that.
Which
quotes,
isn't a nice stadium.
There's quotes from Robert.
It's not? Is that what you said?
It's not a nice stadium?
It's new. I thought it was very vanilla.
Yeah, I haven't.
Very bland.
I haven't really seen any
you
of it.
You guys will like the press box, though. You guys will, especially yeah. the dining
good,
area
make,
in the press box.
You make a
beautiful.
Good point. Well, the
that's
dining
all we care about.
That's the dining that's area
the part that matters.
I don't
that's
even
why.
Care. It has windows.
The
it
dining
has
area
cafeteria. That's all I care.
At the old Meadowlands was among the best. It's my personal favorite. The dining area. The old Meadowlands.
Second best.
Love it.
Really?
Tampa was my favorite. New York was second best.
Yeah, Tampa is more along the line for you.
Tampa was unbelievable.
Tampa was the
it's
most
like
phenomenal thing.
Carving station, ice cream,
desserts.
Tampa's is expanse. I mean, the expanse of it all is second to none. But
and they had more selection, I think.
I'm more plain. I like the ability to make my own sandwich at the Meadowlands. I love it.
Well, Doc was actually at the Meadowlands. He took the tour, so maybe we'll later on, not right now, we'll get some input from Doc about what he thought about the Meadowlands.
He makes a good point, though. Not all the new stadiums are nice. Yeah. There are some bad stadiums out there. And,
so,
maybe the Meadowlands is one of them.
I think they did it vanilla for a reason because two teams are taking advantage of it. Other events are coming in. They want to be able to dress it up per event.
Customize it, if you will.
But it's the other it's what's important is the infrastructure, how you're going to take care of your high rollers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the important stuff. That's where you make your money. So we'll talk to Doc about that. And again, down in Dallas, talking about Super Bowl 2014, perhaps going to the Meadowlands. They're going to vote on that.
Robert was talking.
Robert talked to Albert Breer. Breer had a one-on-one, it looks like, with Robert Kraft. And, you know, some of the quotes that Robert Kraft had, we'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about the OTAs, what we can look forward to on Patriots.com tomorrow.
Logan Mankin's not expected to be at these OTAs, according to his agent who talked to
Frank Bauer, says
Tom Curran.
He ain't coming. So, and they're not even close to having a
contract. Not a surprise. Not surprised by that at all.
No.
I think the only question is minicamp.
Yeah.
And we'll find out. That's June 15th.
And that's
so
right.
We still
mandatory.
Still have a few weeks before that. But not mandatory for him. It's mandatory for people
for
on
people
the contract.
For people on the contract, right.
But that's when he'll have to make a decision as to whether or not to risk the possibility of the Patriots lowering that contract offer. Because on the 15th, they can rescind that tender offer of three and change and
right.
lower it to 110% of his 2009 salary, which is one in change. I agree with you, Freddie. Yeah. I don't think they will either.
All right. So all those things are on the table. Again, Andy's out. Eric's here, though. Doc's in the booth.
With the warm weather, Fred, I noticed that Eric is not wearing a sweater.
No.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
He's wearing a green polo today.
Right. As you said, 90 degrees.
Looks like you've had that for a while.
Yeah, it doesn't have a polo on
school.
It either.
It's old school.
No,
it's a college shirt, but they're not all polos, Fred, as you know.
College or St. Mark's?
Collared.
Oh, collared.
Even Doc is shaking his head at you.
Collared shirt. Well, polo shirts are collared shirts.
Yeah, but polo shirts actually have a polo pony. Yeah.
Oh, no, no, that's not true. Before Polo came out with their polo, there were polo shirts. They were considered
polo. Okay, well,
polo
has
shirts.
Come out with their polo now, right. And polo shirts are considered Ralph Lauren.
Right.
But we did it.
10 minutes.
We did it.
10 minutes, and we've gotten off topic.
I really want to stick with the Super Bowl thing, Fred, that you brought up right off the top.
Okay.
The fact that it looks like, by all accounts, everybody's saying
to me before.
It's all but a done deal that the Meadowlands, the new Meadowlands, will get the 2014 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Certainly seems like a fait accompli.
Unless they're going to give the Patriots one and Green Bay one, I'm against it.
Well, I don't want it.
I'm
even more against it now if that ends up happening, and that to me is no
you
doubt why.
You grew up in Texas, you know.
There's no doubt why that, you know, the Seattles and the Green Bays and, you know, in fairness, the Crafts of the world. That's they want it. They want it here too, and that's why they're in favor of this. I don't like it. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think you're risking a lot with your not your premier event, the premier event. In sports.
Risking what exactly?
Well, a lot of bad things can happen in February and in cold weather places, and we just need to look to last year to see the 2.5 feet of snow that fell. What would happen if that happens on Super Bowl Saturday night?
You'd get the plows
out. Sunday
you would
morning.
Shovel.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, tell that to the people in Philadelphia and Washington that couldn't move last year. And I know that, you know, Washington's not really an important city. They probably don't know how to deal with that kind of thing.
Well, they really don't. They don't get snow that often.
But the city was crippled by it. And that's what, you know, Philadelphia, they don't get snow there normally.
They do in
Philly,
yeah.
I'm sure.
These cities were completely shut down for a week. Now you got 70,000 people trying to get to a stadium.
In fairness, with all the money involved, I'm sure, you know, learning from this disaster in the Gulf and learning from other, you know, Katrina, the NFL in their little world would say, okay, in the possibility that a blizzard would happen like that, let's have, you know, 10 times as many snow plowing trucks on hand. Let's rent them out from other states. Let's have them on hand just in case. I'm sure, you know, if they're smart, they'll be ready for something like that. But I'm just saying, as far as fans go, you know, it's a whole week's worth of events. It's not just the Super Bowl.
Right.
Getting around the city. You
and
know,
that's going to be very, very difficult.
I think you got to think even beyond just, you know, the 3 hours of the game. It's before, the whole week before the game. I don't know. I don't like it there.
And I'll tell you,
damn it, if they're going to have it there, they should have it here.
The biggest reason I don't like it really doesn't even have anything to do with all of those logistics, which I think are a major, major obstacle.
Yeah.
I think the way you just described it, Fred, all the NFL experience and stuff like that, that's a big part of, you know, all the parties and the
sponsor parties,
the money that gets poured into the area. You're going to make it as difficult as possible on people to enjoy those things and for the people who run them to benefit from them. But that's all secondary to me. I can't imagine how bad it would be if the game was adversely affected by weather. Because I am not one of these people that believe, quote-unquote, football is meant to be played in bad weather. No, it's not. If it were meant to be played in bad weather, it would be a winter sport.
Right.
They would play it from January to March instead of in September when the weather's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, but
I mean,
the weather
it's a fall sport, not a winter sport.
But there's a lot of winter-like weather in the fall in northern regions, like here, like New York, like Minnesota, like Green Bay, like Seattle.
Are you comparing February with December in terms of the frequency with which the weather can wreak havoc on a football game?
In this part of the country, it's unpredictable.
Obviously, it's unpredictable. You can't predict any weather anywhere.
Well, you can. You're like San Francisco. It's 70s and sunny all the time.
Football
in this country started at the college level. In college, you have three seasons of sports. You have fall, winter, and spring. The fall and the spring sports are outdoor sports because of the weather. Mm-hmm. The winter sports are indoor sports because of the weather. I mean, it's
I'm not one of these romantics that think The Snow Bowl was great because of the way the game ended, not because of the snow.
The snow added
to me it didn't.
Well,
but
it made it. It obviously made it what it was.
I don't want to ever see a team win because of the elements. And I think that you risk that happening.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying which teams won which games through the course of time because of elements. But I think, and Chris Mortensen, I heard make this point last night. I think it's a really good one. the moneymaker for this league is quarterbacks, and you're increasing the likelihood that the quarterback can't play up to his capability because the weather prohibits it.
I agree with that.
The NFC Championship game between Green Bay and the Giants a couple years ago, that wasn't great. There was nothing great about that.
But one of the,
it was a cacophony of errors.
And one of the
things, that was because the teams weren't that good.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that team that wasn't that good went into a controlled environment and beat an undefeated team 2 weeks later. So they were pretty good.
They were good on that day. They weren't good teams overall. That Giants team shouldn't have even made the playoffs.
That's utterly ridiculous. Yeah. Now they went from they won the Super Bowl, so they shouldn't even have made the playoffs.
Right, no, they shouldn't have made them in the first place.
Why?
They were a bad team.
Why were they a bad team? They went 10-6. What was that about?
They got hot at the right time.
In December, Tom Coughlin was supposed to get fired. Eli Manning wasn't going to get a new contract. They weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
And then 4 weeks later, they were in the playoffs.
And then they put together game plans that were effective against good teams, and the quarterback went on a great run. They won 10 games in the regular season and then swept 3 road games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Why is that not good? Why is that undeserving?
It was an aberration.
Why?
Because they weren't good before that, and they haven't really been that good since
then. Sure they have been.
They haven't been a good team.
They haven't been great since then, but they've been good since then.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, weren't they like 6-0 the next 2 years?
Right.
Coming out of the gate before injuries really hit them hard?
Right.
Right?
No, but to get back to your original point about the weather in weather games, I think what makes a weather game special is the rarity of it. I mean, if we actually did play a lot of these games in January, February outdoors, it would become very boring when it snowed or when it got below.
I think the game is very boring when it's played in those.
Or when it got below 20 degrees. You know, there'd be so many of those games, it'd be just really boring. You know, I think, you know, the fact that, you know, when we have a blizzard, it's very rare, that's what makes it special. But I'm telling you, you would lose a lot of interest in the Super Bowl if, you know, consistently bad weather in low scores.
Well, I'll tell you what I would wonder, too, back to your original point about the logistics and everything, is how much the Super Bowl has really become really such a corporate entity, and, you know, it's not really about the common fan anymore because it's too expensive, and we all know the power brokers that be. How many of those people would really want to sit out in, you know,
right,
10-degree weather
right
in a snowstorm and watch a game? I wonder what it would be like at the game itself.
I guarantee you they'll stay in their cushy hotel room. They'll have their ticket in hand. But they won't bother to go.
The ticket prices aren't going to drop.
No.
You know.
Oh, God, no.
So, I mean, it's still whether the corporate people can go or not, largely the common man has been cut out anyway. It's not they have been cut out because of the corporations. They've been cut out because of the prices. As much as anything else, the accessibility is ridiculously hard.
You can't get.
But would you pay to go to the Super Bowl now if you had to? And that's the last thing in the world I would do. And I love the Super Bowl.
I just can't afford it.
Maybe my favorite day of the year. I mean, non-family
related.
It's
$1,000 a ticket.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even think about it. And I've gone to a Super Bowl as a fan, but I paid $400, not $1,000.
Yeah,
there's a big difference.
Yeah. At the time, that was still probably a lot, though.
It killed me. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was still working at the Herald. This was before Fred took care of me financially.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was working at the Herald at the time. That was like 2 months worth of salary.
Mm.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. That was major for me. But I couldn't do it now.
It's absurd.
And I think there's a lot of people that couldn't do it now. And I don't think that's, I think the accessibility is a major factor, but I don't think it's the one factor.
But people, I don't buy the argument that people would be less interested if there was a foot of snow on the ground or if it was snowing heavily during the game. Because I think anytime you see highlights of a football game and there's snow, people are automatically more interested in seeing the highlights of that game because of the snow factor.
Yeah, see,
I think that adds an element of interest to it. I'm not here to tell people what they think. It would get very old if it happened too often. See, that's how I feel, Freddie. But it's not happening too often. That's the whole thing.
I can't tell people how they should act, how they should feel. That's how I feel. I have no interest in watching a game in the snow. I want to see the two teams play at full strength. That's why it drives me crazy. Mike Felger, our old friend who's been in many, many an argument with you, thinks Kurt Warner stinks.
Yeah.
Because he's never done it without a controlled environment.
Give me a break.
I don't see what better way there is to gauge a person's ability than it's 72 degrees with no wind. There's nothing out external is impacting this game. It's you against me at 100%. Who's better?
Right.
I don't see how that is not a show of a person's ability. He thinks Kurt Warner is overrated because he had his best days in the dome in St. Louis and in the indoor place in Glendale, Arizona.
Well, I
don't understand.
I could see his argument if he were saying, you match up in a controlled environment.
Who's better?
No.
Right. That's all I want to know. In both environments.
In adverse conditions and in a controlled environment. And whoever does better in the snow isn't who's better.
It's who handled the elements better.
Well, I think that's part of the equation.
No, it's not ability, though. It's who handles the... It's maybe a mental toughness that the Patriots have had. It's maybe some guys that were born in the north and were maybe a little bit more accustomed to running in snow. It's not who has better ability. It's who handles the elements better. I hate that. I want to know who's the better player. Who's the better team?
But that factors into
it. That's
what I'm saying. That factors into it. How you deal with adversity factors into how good you are at something.
No, it's not. It's a fluke. It's who handles the elements better.
It's not a fluke.
It is a fluke. What happens when the Patriots and Colts play in Indianapolis?
It's always a good game.
And it's always a shootout. What happens when the Patriots and Colts play in Foxborough? The Patriots always kill them. I mean, in the snow. In January. Patriots kill them. You don't think there's a
correlation?
You don't think there's some sort of cause and effect there?
Yes,
but when the elements are right, the Patriots can't stop the Colts, and the Colts can't stop the Patriots either, by the way. They're always high-scoring, close shootouts. But when the snow factors in, the Colts can't move the ball because they don't handle the snow as well as the Patriots do. Does that make the Patriots better?
All around, it makes them tougher to me, but it doesn't make them better.
In an overall thing, if they're equal indoors and the Patriots are better outdoors, yes, that does
make the advantage to the... Not outdoors. I didn't say outdoors, because when the Patriots and Colts play in Foxborough in good weather, it's the similar shootouts take place.
I need more of a test case. But to back you up, you want me to give you my test case by the scores? Just relax for a second, because I'm about to back you up, all right? So just relax for a second.
But let me just read you a couple of things real quick.
Oh, boy.
When the Patriots and Colts played in Foxborough to open the 2004 season, it was 27-24.
Right.
In a snowstorm that January, it was 20-3.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't really call that a snowstorm.
It was flurries.
It was flurries
that game.
It wasn't the Miami playoff game from the year before.
Was the number one factor in the game the conditions?
That was a factor.
Confusing Manning was the number one factor.
And the ball flying all
over
the field.
They had five interceptions.
Exactly. Thank you for proving my point. But yet when the weather is great, he doesn't throw five interceptions. I don't know. I guess there's no cause and effect there.
I don't know. When last time we were indoors with him, he threw three, didn't he?
I think he did.
No, he didn't.
Last year? How many interceptions did he have?
He didn't throw three interceptions. When he was scoring 35 points and leading a 21-point comeback,
I think he didn't throw three picks. I think he did. Or at least two.
Not three. That's not three. And it's certainly not five that he'd throw in a snowstorm in Foxborough.
We had Ty Law back then. If we had Ty Law indoors then, we would have had five.
But we don't care about him because he's not in the Patriots anymore.
I'm just saying.
In 2005, when they played in Foxborough in November, the Colts won 40-21. Okay, so it's not just outdoors. That's a misnomer. You make it sound like it's, well, when the Patriots play at home, they kill them. No. The Patriots have lost, by the way, again in 2006 in Foxborough in November, 27-20, Indianapolis. So Indianapolis puts up points consistently when they play the Patriots, unless there's a blizzard going on. That's the fact that we can't escape from.
Well, I don't know about blizzard.
There were high winds and snow. That's okay, not a blizzard. Cold weather, high winds affecting the passing game.
No, but the
Patriots, and it's not like the Patriots piled up the points. No. They won 20-3.
To back up Paul's point, if a team on a level surface, and I mean, you know, controlled environment,
yeah,
consistently wins, okay, that does say something about them. Because when everything is equal, they beat the teams that they're playing.
And I would
there is something to say about that.
And I would just say they're consistently even. I would say that because I don't want to sell the Patriots. The Patriots have gone to Indy and beaten them.
Yeah.
I'm not ignoring that fact. Yeah. The Patriots are unaffected by playing in the dome.
Now here's where it gets complicated. If half of your games are indoors, you're going to build your team a certain way that maybe back in the days when we had grass here, you would build the Patriots differently. So it's never really an equal test, because the Patriots are just like the Red Sox. They used to build their team for hitting because they had that wall there. And they were never a fast team, and they were never a good run prevention team. You know, they didn't build that way. And so they did great at home, and they get in the playoffs, and they never win, you know, because they were built for their stadium.
Right. But the fact is, not every stadium is that way. So you have to build your team to win in any sort of environment, at any time of the year, under any sort
of
conditions.
To a certain extent, but like
as best you can. Yeah. Obviously, you can't. It's not.
But for example,
perfect, but,
you know, you take what's the division in the NFL now that three of the four teams are indoors? You got Texas,
NFC Colts, South.
It's Jacksonville, and who's the fourth team in that?
Tennessee.
It's
two, I think. Okay, because you got New Orleans and Atlanta.
New Orleans and Atlanta,
Carolina,
right?
And
Carolina
Tampa,
and Tampa are outside.
Right. I think there's two dome teams.
All right. I thought there was one that was like three out of four.
So do you think, just out of argument's sake here, because that's what I do. You know,
yeah.
I incite riots. Mm-hmm.
Really?
You do.
That's what I do.
Who knew? Usually with women. But
have the Patriots not been well constructed in the last couple of years? The last 3 years, actually?
No, I just think that...
Pause.
No, it's not that they've been well constructed.
Pause.
They've been going through
a
transition.
Lie.
They've been going through a transition.
Well, I mean, just saying, you made a comment that, you know, you need to build your team to be able to win in any conditions.
Right.
I think that's
as best you can, Paul.
I think that's quite unrealistic. And I don't think the Patriots have been built to win in bad conditions in the last couple of years.
No,
I don't
they haven't because...
They haven't been able to run the ball consistently. They haven't been able to play defense consistently. And that's what I would think would be staples of being able to win in bad weather. And I would point to the 2004 playoffs against the Colts when Corey Dillon ran wild and the defense, as you pointed out, Fred, caused a million turnovers.
You look at teams that are out, you know, outdoors now that are having some success. You know, Green Bay has a good defense. Steelers have a good, you know, they're built for the elements, you know.
Right. But I think that has to factor in how good a team you are overall, how you prepare for unexpected things, for adversity, for conditions that aren't perfect.
I just think it's really
that factors into how good a team you are.
It's really hard to compare again because teams have different home fields and
well, of course, it's subjective.
You know,
but
to say that you know the Rams of 2000 when they won their Super Bowl was not as good as
the Patriots of 2004.
Yeah, because the Patriots were an outdoor team and they. I don't think that's fair because, you know, that's how they built and they were able to win. You know, that way.
Maybe it's tougher year to year, but over the long haul, I think it's a little bit easier to analyze it that way, don't you think?
Well, you know, but if the – okay, let's
like
just,
over a period of 5 years, let's say.
You know, let's say the 04 Patriots played indoors against the 2000 Colts – I mean, not Colts, Rams, and the Rams won. Not the 2001 Rams, the 2000 – and the Rams won. I mean, isn't it fair to say then that the Rams are better, you know?
That's a great shirt. We have guests.
Yes,
we
guests
have,
just
we have
barged
guests,
into
Freddie.
The studio.
Guests have just walked in. Basil Rathbone from
Sherlock Holmes
fame is here. Basil, as you remember, came earlier. What, last year was it?
Last year, yeah.
Last year. And you're back in the States?
Back in the States.
Might want to turn
your mic on
if you're going to.
Right there. You just right push there that button.
Go. How you doing, Basil?
I'm doing good, Fred. How are you doing?
Good, good. So what are you doing here?
I came.
Not here.
Buying
us
lunch.
I mean, you know.
I bought you guys lunch, and I came to all the deadbeats out there listening for free. I came to renew my subscription to PFW.
Oh, beautiful. Love it.
We wanted to do that on the air, just to prove that you and Andy didn't scare everybody away.
Wow, 1-800-494-PATS to renew. Thank you, Basil.
So it's all set up, ready to go, and all you deadbeats listening for free, get yourself a subscription.
I
like
appreciate
it.
That.
Wow.
Appreciate that. That's great.
Way to step up.
You came all the way to Boston just to renew your subscription?
That's right.
Well,
that's
well, that and to get us
lunch. Where are you now? Where are you living now?
I live in Marlboro, about half hour, 45 minutes north, so not a big deal.
Okay.
Still running the roller rink?
Yep. That's my protege, Alex.
Protege. He brought a protege with him.
Wow. Alex
is a man
of many words.
Alex, are you a Patriots fan? You have a Red Sox cap on, though. I don't know.
Yeah. I like the Patriots. Didn't really watch last season, sorry, but more of a Celtics fan.
You were busy?
Yeah.
More of a Celtics fan.
We work every
now.
Sunday.
More of a Celtics fan, Alex?
Yeah, I love
that. Do you have any concern whatsoever after what happened to the Bruins that could happen to the Celtics in this series?
No.
I'm hearing a lot of that on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
No, no way.
That's what Andy was predicting a few weeks ago. He was hoping that the Celts would go up 3-0 so that they could collapse 4-3.
Which I think
like
says it all that you need to know about Andy.
Right.
The quote-unquote man of the people, he's rooting, openly rooting for misery.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants. He wants to see it happen.
It would be drama if they went to 7, but they're not even going to get to 7, I don't think.
Wow, that's what we said about the Bruins series, though.
Yeah.
But
now the Flyers are in the Stanley Cup.
There was a huge turning point in the Bruins series where they lost David Krejci, their best player in that series. And then at the same time, the Flyers got Simon Gagner, who was their best goal scorer. So there was a big kind of balance of power shift in that series, whereas the Magic
all
had
the
to
stars
do,
are on both teams.
The Magic had to, you know, really, really, you know, pull one off last night just to
pull
survive.
One out of their hat.
Well, I was going to say it, but I figured Andy's not here, so he's gonna be the only one that would go. So I let that one go, and they just barely squeaked one out in overtime. About time the food got here, there, Doc. So Toyota.
I want to apologize about that.
It's not your fault. It's his fault.
I didn't get the email. It supposedly went to my spam. I didn't check my spam, but I was waiting for the email, and I never
Basil, never take responsibility for something that Toyota screws up.
Okay.
Now, Basil, what do you think about the Super Bowl being in the Meadowlands? Are you for that or against that, having a Super Bowl in a cold weather area?
Well, I'm torn because I think, you know, football should be played in its truest element, which is out in the cold in the winter. But at the same time, the Super Bowl...
Well, I just am I going to
jump
it?
Down
just,
his throat, huh? Now that you got a fan in studio,
he's a guest,
and he subscribed to the paper.
That's right. True. Also, at the same time, the Super Bowl is
meant to be played in the fall, by the way, not the winter. But go ahead.
What?
It's meant to be played in the fall, not the fall.
Fall/winter, the winter elements. But the NFL has made the NFL into a corporate entity. It's not even what it should be anymore.
Yep.
Wow. You know, the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl, guaranteeing that your two best teams aren't going to have any representatives.
It's antiseptic now.
Yeah, it's watered down. It's all for the corporations.
The fake turf on the fields, even on the outdoor fields.
Now, the reason I brought this up, Eric, because I did want to get to another point that our illustrious leader Fred had brought up this morning. With all this talk about the possibility of bad weather impacting the game negatively or whatever, memorably,
in
your case,
yep,
negatively in my case. Fred has a solution.
Well, I have a theory.
Possible solution.
You know, we have a lot of smart people in the United States, engineering-wise. I don't understand why they couldn't devise some system that would be structurally sound that could be retrofitted to stadiums to have roofs for Super Bowls. And, you know, like, and I gave Paul the example. You two came here, and in 4 days... they built a stage that was the largest stage ever. I mean, the thing was incredible.
Right, it was like that. It was that big monster.
It was taller
thing
than the. It was taller. It here. Reached beyond
the
top of the
highest
stadium.
Right.
It was just an incredible stage. They put it together in 4 days.
Right.
Because smart people came up with the design, and you know, piece A fits into piece B, and all they had to do was follow the blueprint, and they put that thing together.
Some assembly required.
Yeah. So
better,
a lot of
not included.
Yeah. So I don't understand why, you know, given
or screws,
you know, given 4 years, you know, to work on it, because we know where the Super Bowls are going to be for the, you know, let's say for, you know, five,
so come up with a temporary
five
makeshift
years
roof.
From now, they can't come up with something that they can bring to stadiums to retrofit open air stadiums for Super Bowls and then take down, you know, and I understand it's got to be strong enough to withstand winds and in snow, you know,
right,
for liability reasons. But, you know, we put a freaking man on the moon. We can't put a retrofitted roof on a football stadium. There's got to be a way. And it's going to cost money. But let's just say it costs $30 million for the design of this thing. I don't know. You don't think you're going to make that back, bringing Super Bowls to places like New York? And I don't know.
What about obviously
Paul laughed at me. He thought I was crazy.
I don't think it's completely.
I'm just thinking about
absurd.
The 70,000 people sitting underneath the temporary roof that was erected, like, you know, the week before.
But if it's
that's
done,
what I laugh
if
at.
It's done right,
can you heat it though?
I don't think you really need to heat
You're
it.
You're just trying to keep any sort of precipitation off the field.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily need to heat it.
But don't they go down to the cold? I mean, to the warm weather places. They go to the warm weather places for all these fat cats that don't want to sit in the cold.
Well, that's what they do now.
Right.
Yeah, that's why most of them are at.
They wouldn't go to the cold, I don't assume.
Well, they went to...
But they're doing it.
Well,
they went to Minnesota.
Yeah, they went to Minnesota. They went to Detroit.
Now the Meadowlands, we just see them on TV right now. They're gonna about to vote on them getting
stadium. I was watching Catherine Tapp,
you know, because they paid $1.6 billion for their stadium. They're going to reward them with a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, great. But, you know, we paid for the stadium. I know it was a long time ago.
Well, this idea, though, first came up shortly after 9/11, you recall. There was the whole sentiment of giving Washington or New York or both of them a Super Bowl. earlier on in the decade because of the whole sentiment of what happened after 9/11, and that sort of faded away. But now they have the new stadium in New York, so I think that's...
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago.
But I think Robert sort of alluded to that, referenced that, actually, in his comments yesterday to Albert Breer in the Globe, saying all that's gone on there in the last decade. Obviously, we know what he's talking about when he says that. I think there's still a little bit of that emotional pull that, that the country feels for that, and I think it would be a...
Just out of fairness, we keep saying Albert Breer. Mike Reese and Karen Garigian had these quotes over the weekend, by the way.
Right, this is just the most recent.
It might have been from last weekend, the week that they had the science event here.
Science!
Science! The high school science fair that
right,
was
Raytheon.
That we hosted.
Right.
And Robert was there, and they had the same quotes about 9/11 and whatnot. It's warm, just so you know.
Oh, it Coke. Is?
Yeah.
It's all right.
There's another bottle in the refrigerator, though.
Oh, all right.
Very I'm good. Sorry. Talk amongst yourselves.
The Diet Coke is warm?
Yeah. Want to throw it in the fridge?
Anyway, no, I mean, that's great, but, you know, to... I don't not reward them, but to give them a Super Bowl because of 9/11. But
yeah, who's going to adamantly come out and say, I'm anti New York 9/11 support.
But I think at this point,
even I wouldn't be that callow.
You know, business has to play into this, and logistics have to play into it, and fairness. I mean, okay, 9/11 didn't happen in Boston. But everyone was affected by 9/11.
Planes flew from Boston.
Right. So
I just can't picture even corporate football fans not wanting to go to the Super Bowl wherever it is.
Oh, of course. I think they'll go. I think
the greatest city in the world.
But I'm saying if you have a couple years where bad weather affected it, I think that would start to wear on people.
It would, but that's why there's such a novelty to having it in New York, because it doesn't happen every few years. It doesn't happen that often. It's never happened, really. I mean, the cold weather cities we mentioned were both dome cities. Yeah. Minnesota was the Metrodome. Detroit had Ford Field.
Do you remember the nightmare in Atlanta?
Well, that
they
was,
had that.
Well,
that was that ice storm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and people still went to the event. They didn't know that was going to happen. Obviously,
I don't know.
But
selfishly, though, look, I know that we built our stadium back in 2001, and for the 2002 season, and you know, we pay for it privately. It wasn't nearly as much as they paid for the Meadowlands Stadium. But still, why shouldn't the Foxborough and the Patriots fans be rewarded? And, you know, why shouldn't Green Bay for redoing Lambeau Stadium be rewarded? You know, we're all good fans, you know?
That's a good point. I don't see why it shouldn't.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Green Bay maybe.
The argument, it has to be in warm
why
weather.
Green Bay? Well,
I can live with that argument,
but
when you start putting it in Detroit and, you know, New York, and, you know, then now I'm saying, well, where's mine?
I'm interested to hear Eric's
rationale.
Separating Green Bay from any other.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to having it in Green Bay, but I could see where people would say, well, what's there to do in Green Bay? How far is Green Bay from Milwaukee?
You've been to Appleton Street?
I've never been to Green Bay, Fred.
Oh, really?
No, I wasn't traveling that year that we went a few years ago. So I haven't been yet. Haven't experienced the Green Bay Lambeau.
No, I hear what you're saying about.
It's not about what's around it, too. Yeah, it's not just the venue.
Madison is nowhere near, you know, Boston or
how
New
far
York.
Is it from Milwaukee or Madison from
far.
Green Bay?
It's not, I don't know about Milwaukee, but, you know, when we were there, Madison was pretty close, I think, and Appleton, which is where the University of Wisconsin is, I think.
That's Madison.
Oh, that's Madison?
Yeah.
Where were we with Appleton?
There might be an extension
campus. Because it was a real
Appleton,
college atmosphere. It was like a whole strip of bars and restaurants. And
but
one of our listeners will tell us what the college is. But you're right.
But so the Super Bowl, it's more. Super Bowl is more in a metropolitan area. Even like Glendale had Scottsdale, Phoenix. What else was around there? Tempe. There were several metropolitan destinations that you could go to. In New York, obviously, that's not a problem. It's the biggest one in the world.
Yep.
Green Bay might be a little tougher to sell for as far as events for the whole week leading up to the game.
Yep. Isn't, though, Pasadena like a retirement community? Because they've held some Super Bowls at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Yeah, they have.
But is that I'm not sure on California, but isn't that like less than an hour from L.A.?
I think so.
Pasadena?
I think so.
So you're dealing with the same kind of thing you're doing right now with
right.
New Jersey and
right.
in New York. I just tell you, it's going to be amazing to watch the logistics of people trying to get from Manhattan to New Jersey.
Oh, I know.
You know, whenever they need to. I mean, if the practice is, you know, I know it's not about the media. It's not. And I'm not just saying that trying to defend. It's not about the media, but you're going to be staying in Manhattan and trying to cover practices and stuff like that, press conferences every day at the hotels that will be in Jersey.
Well, they might actually have everybody stay in New York and just have the practices like at Hofstra or something like that.
That's not what I've read.
Really?
I read that the teams will stay in Jersey.
That's on Long Island.
Teams will stay in Jersey?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
What, like Hackensack area? That you know.
Or, you know, yeah, even Rutgers because there's a big facility there.
We always stay in Jersey.
I know, but they ain't staying at that hotel we stay at.
Why?
The one on the strip there? Oh, no. No, it has to be bigger than that, Paul. That doesn't have enough rooms.
I don't even know which one you're talking about in particular, but without, I mean, obviously, whatever hotel it was would have to be big enough.
The one across the street from the Crow's Nest.
What's the Crow's Nest?
You know, the family restaurant that we went to once.
Oh,
down
God.
The street from Applebee's or wherever we went last time.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's a lot of hotels there. Though,
I know, but they're like not big, Paul.
Are they all not big? The ones that we stay in aren't big?
I don't think they're that big.
Okay. I don't know. What are you yelling at me for?
You know?
Well, they're certainly not as big as the resort we stayed in Arizona.
Well, that's a whole different,
and
you know. Yeah.
That's still not big enough. So that's the way I look at it is you can't stay in it anyway. I mean, the team are the only ones that are important.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we should probably get to some emails and some phone calls, 508-543-7482.
Some calzone.
Again, Basil, thanks for lunch. We
no
appreciate
problem,
it.
Guys. Love the show.
And
Alex, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Thanks for renewing.
He's a real talkative sort.
I think it's the first time we've ever had a live renewal.
If anybody ever needs
most
anything,
most of our
computers,
renewals are dead.
Alex is the guy. He is a computer genius.
Really?
So that's me. Yeah.
You need a new computer guy? You guys having problems? I remember
we
one show.
A webmaster.
Fred couldn't read his emails. That's the guy right there.
You know how to read?
Yeah, I could read.
Oh, good.
Very well.
Good.
Now, don't take this the wrong way. But I would have bet every cent that I had that you were a computer guy.
Oh, I don't doubt it at all.
Okay.
I bet it's the glasses that give it away. Definitely the glasses.
What do you do for work?
I work at Roller King.
He works for me. He's my protege.
I'm a sophomore in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where do you go to school?
I just went to UMass Dartmouth for my first semester, but I'm actually transferring to a different college. I'm going to Framingham State.
Okay. What do you specialize in computers? Are you like an Apple guy? Or you?
Don't even talk to me about Macs.
No?
You're going down the wrong place there.
Why is that?
He's a PC guy.
I'm a big PC user. I'm aspiring to be like a net admin, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, look at networks. You know.
What do you think of Windows 7?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Good.
Welcome back to
my
computer
idea.
Talk.
Yeah.
On Patriots.com radio.
So will there be another tablet that will rival the iPad?
No.
No?
I honestly don't think so.
Really?
It was Bill Gates' idea anyways. Doesn't matter.
So Apple's going to own the tablet industry?
Yeah. I definitely think so. It's only their first generation, so there's definitely more to come from them.
What do you think of social media? Facebook, is it a fad or is it here to stay?
It's definitely a fad.
Oh, good. I like that. Good.
I mean, same thing with MySpace.
Right.
I can't believe you just said that.
What?
You don't torture me and Andy for making fun of your Twitter and Facebook.
Well, we have to take advantage of it while it's here. But
No.
Paul.
Paul. When we say it's a fad, and in 2 years when no one even remembers the name, like MySpace, by the way, who remembers that now?
It's the MySpace.
What did Bill call it? The MyFace?
MyFace.
And yearbook?
Yearbook and MyFace.
Yearbook and MyFace. You attacked us for that.
I
no?
attacked you.
Wow. You. As the director of interactive media? I think you did.
Well, we can't dismiss it. We have to...
No one dismissed it. We just said it's not going to be around very long.
We have to make hay while the sun shines.
Basil knows. I saw his reaction when you said that. He almost fell off his chair.
All right.
He almost hurt the baby.
All right. Well,
that's
we're
right,
going
to... Carlos.
We're going to take a quick break here. No, I just spit out a piece of lettuce. We're going to take a quick break here on PFW in Progress, and when we come back, we'll get to your emails.
When the boss says it...
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
The 75th NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2010 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Be the first to get the 2010 Draft hat that you saw the NFL's newest players wear on draft day at the Patriots Pro Shop. Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, back there in PFW in progress. Talking Super Bowls, and we're talking Patriots OTAs tomorrow. Is Brady supposed to be here tomorrow? Is he expected?
You really don't listen to Eric, do you?
No.
No, he's not expected.
Okay. All right, so... let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Is there anyone on the phone, Doc? Huh?
Yes.
Ooh. I'm expecting a call anyway.
It's Anthony in Naples.
Oh, Anthony. Let's go to the phones. Because,
you tell him not to call
my,
you here?
My Google chat isn't up, so I didn't know that. Anthony, how
am
you
I
doing?
On the air?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Holy cow, that was only 3 minute wait. I'm so surprised.
Wow.
And that was by accident, too, Fred.
It was. I just happened to ask Doc if there was anybody in the line. It's lo and behold,
that's because
Anthony.
The Google chat is down.
I've probably been waiting to get on the air for, I would say, 2 weeks and maybe about 50 worth of minutes.
Okay.
On hold.
And that was all you were waiting for to tell us?
Yeah, that was it. I just wanted to get on the air.
Why is my Diet Coke in a soup cup?
Because we didn't have any regular cups left.
Right. So what's the subject today, guys?
Super Bowl outdoors in at the Meadowlands, which
don't
has
like
not, it. I guess it hasn't become official, but it looks like
yeah, but you're a Florida guy, Anthony. Of course you want the Super Bowl
actually,
down in your
I'm
home
not,
state.
I'm not a Florida guy. Well, I live
You live there now, though, right?
Yeah, I'm originally from New England. I just don't like it. I don't like the elements affecting the game, the chance of it. I just don't care for it. There's no reason for it.
So you didn't like the snow globe game?
The snow globe?
Yeah.
You're talking about the...
The Raiders and the Raiders-Patriots game. You didn't like that game?
Also known as the cut game.
Yeah, we don't refer it as the snow globe game.
The Super Bowl is a playoff game, too.
Listen to me, Eric.
The weather shouldn't affect it.
Let me ask this about the snow game. Let me interrupt you for a second, Anthony.
Sure.
If the tuck rule, Basil just said, the tuck rule game. Let's just say, for argument's sake, there was no tuck rule and that was a fumble. Would you still feel the same way about that game? Well, everything else about it was the same. 60 minutes and terrible weather and no one can move the ball. Is it just because Adam made the 45-yard field goal that game became legendary for you?
Yes.
The fact that they won the game, yes. I'm not talking about Patriots win, Fred. Obviously, let's just say, for argument's sake, the Patriots had the lead at the end of the game, and it was Oakland that was driving, and the tuck rule happened to Oakland, but there was no tuck rule, the fumble. Is that game memorable to you?
Yes, it's still very memorable.
It's not to me.
How many times do you see a game where the field is completely white?
I think Fred just nailed it for me. To me, it was the clutch aspect of Vinatieri's kick that made that game memorable.
That was part of it.
Snow didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, the snow had a lot to do with it,
Paul. That's what made it the hardest.
No, it made it a more difficult kick, yes, but the snow was a very small sidelight to me.
Look, I like having...
Whereas most people agree with you, Eric. Most people are on your side. They think the more snow, the better. Those are the memorable games. I think it makes for bad football and boring football, if you ask me.
Well, I
agree with you, Paul.
I think having the elements affect, a game like that every once in a while is good. It makes it that much more memorable because when someone can overcome it.
But I would agree with that.
But if it happens a lot, it gets really boring.
But it doesn't happen a lot.
I know, but it will happen more often if we expand games into February and we expand the season.
Well, that's a different argument.
Having Super Bowls
that's
in
a different
York
argument.
And,
but it's part of it. If you're doing it in the Super Bowl, inherently that's in February. So that's part of this argument.
But
you're extending the season. Even if you don't do an 18-game season, you're extending the chances of bad weather impacting important games. Because now you're making it later that you're playing a game in bad weather.
But the commissioner
used to not have a game in February, have a possibility of bad weather.
The commissioner's not saying we're going to put a Super Bowl in New York and then we're going to put it in all the other northern non-dome cities. They just want to put it in New York for this year, 2014.
If you believe that's why all these bad weather places are voting in favor of it, that's fine.
Right.
I think they all want this. Seattle, Green Bay,
Patriots.
But it's not going to happen overnight. They're going to see how things go in New York, and then if things go terribly, then it's going to scrap it for a while.
Look, New York could be unseasonably warm. It could be 50 degrees.
Who
knows?
It could certainly be.
But there's that chance. And, there's a lot of planning and money that goes into it where now you're relying on a week out weather forecast. You might know right now in 2014 the game's going to be in the Meadowlands, but you're not going to know what the weather's going to be until 7 days before.
Obviously.
With all that planning. So that's the risk. And,
seven.
And again,
not with the way the weatherman.
No kidding.
Predict.
It's probably 3, 2, 1. And my thing is, again, it's very selfish. If you're going to do it in New York, damn it, I want it here.
I concur. I want to change my answer, by the way.
Under 6 inches of snow on that field, if they can't clear it through blizzard conditions, I don't know. That's not a Super Bowl atmosphere to me. Like a Super Bowl atmosphere to me is like it's a celebration. Everybody goes to one particular spot. It's everybody's having a good time. You don't really worry about the weather. It's going to be a level playing field for both teams.
Yeah, but all right. I understand it's the championship game. You want things to be great and perfect, but every week. Every Sunday, all around the country, you have no idea what the weather's going to be for that particular game, any particular game.
Right.
It could be pouring rain. It could be hot. It could be really unseasonably mild, to put it in Fred Kershaw meteorological terms. It could be snowing. Could be just overcast, windy. You never know what the conditions are going to be like week to week. So why should the Super Bowl be any different just because a bunch of rich people are going down there for a week?
Let me put it this way, though, Eric. And I know it's only once in a while, but a team from the South that either always plays in a dome or in, warm weather can be disadvantaged if they play in bad weather because they're not
unless they're a good, well-coached team.
But
Okay. Which goes back to the argument we had overall.
The only teams that are well coached and good are the teams that play in bad weather. I see.
A team that plays in bad weather.
That can play in those
A team
conditions.
That plays in bad weather.
That's
that
a requirement
towards,
for being a good team.
They're not disadvantaged. You know what I'm saying? So there's only one.
That's my point exactly. Yeah. And just to show you, this isn't a football thing. I think this is one of the dumbest things that my favorite sport does of all, Fred, baseball. And this is why people always say, the sport is so good that even the people that run it can't ruin it. Well, that's why I kind of think about where football's going. The sport is so good, it doesn't matter what they do. Basil, you brought up the draft and how you thought it was great. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how many people are negatively impacted. It's so good. The NFL is such a good product. It's going to succeed, and it's going to dominate because it's that good. Baseball, they play 162 largely meaningless games to play the World Series in November. That makes a lot of sense. That's fair for everybody. That's what I want to see guys with stocking hats and the head stockings playing shortstop on November 1st.
Right.
It's ridiculous. That's the better baseball player?
That's
no.
Right.
That's the guy who survived the elements best that day. That's
called
all.
Greed, Paul.
It's called greed. Exactly. And that's all this is all about. They're going to end up adding games to the regular season for greed. There'll be an 18-game season. The product won't be as good, but they won't care because they're making more money. And we'll have Super Bowls potentially being played in bad weather cities, and the game won't be as good. The product on the field won't be as good because it can't be.
I can't disagree with you, Paul. I mean,
yeah, and you know what, too? I think where football, like, I don't know if I've made this point before, but I feel like where football is going in that direction is by the whole fantasy aspect of it and the opening up of the game as in the passing attack. I feel like it's hurt it for the true football fans, and I believe, like, but that's what they want. That's how they make more money. Don't get me wrong. I see where they're going with it, but it's just sometimes I think it takes away from the game by having such an aerial passing attack.
Well, that could change.
I think stuff like that is more cyclical.
I'm not so worried about that, but I go back to my roof. Why can't they have a modular roof that they bring?
Hey, I laughed you off, Fred. I don't know. I'm not an engineer. Maybe we can get some more of our listeners to look. We have engineering listeners.
5 years. You
right?
put some bright sure.
engineers
in the room
that write
from
in.
MIT and Stanford. You can't tell me that in 5 years they can't come up with a sturdy, you know, dependable modular roof system that can retrofit, you know, 90% of the stadiums that the team's playing. Come on, of course they can.
Yeah, just a big ass tent.
Do you think
I don't know if it can be a tent because you got liability. I think there's got to be some steel in there.
Do you think we're heading though? If let's say things go reasonably well in New York, and then northern cold weather cities start lobbying more and more to get their city to host the Super Bowl. Do you think that we would see a push for all new stadiums to be built with a certain requirement that they have a retractable roof? So that this argument becomes moot. You can have it in any city.
Well, the problem
the game won't be affected.
The problem with that is once the league starts saying, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that, then you're never going to get cities and states to cooperate with you because the last thing they want is some private sports entity telling them what they have to do. Most of these stadiums are not built on private money. They're built in a cooperation with the state.
But they'd have to sell it that, you know, you can use it for non-football use too.
Well, they'd have to come up with, yeah, that's a good point. If they came up with the study and the numbers and said, look, if you invest X amount more, we guarantee you a Super Bowl, and we know from experience that this will bring in X amount to your state or city.
Well,
make the case. You know, I'm listening.
That's the argument.
I'm the mayor or the governor.
That's the argument
I'm listening.
That Robert Kraft could go with, even in a privately financed stadium like Gillette, you could go and use Eric's blueprint that he just pointed, just mapped out. Listen, if we can find a way to, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Jonathan talked about the way the stadium was built, the structural. It would lend itself to being able to be enclosed
at one point.
And both in the end zones and with the roof, right?
Yep. Yep.
Some sort of retractable situation. Well, I would think that would be a pretty sound argument. Now, maybe it would still fall flat because of the backwards way the politics are in this state. But I would think that's a pretty sound argument to go and say, listen, if we do this and you build this for us, or at least help with the financing, we're going to get Super Bowls here.
Right.
And we're going to get all that added tourism and revenue from that.
Right.
And I think, I mean, Eric's point for that, I'm wholeheartedly behind you on that one. although I still don't like it in cold weather places, indoor or outdoor, but it takes away my bigger concern of the game
being
a mess.
Right. Okay, let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com. The first one comes in from Steven, and he has some information about terms used in England. I guess we were throwing around.
When Andy and I were swearing at each other the other day in English swears?
He says sod British. Is used in sod them or sod off.
Right.
Very mild in the kind of language you might hear in a TV show aimed at a 10-year-old.
Kind of like our version when we say screw you.
Right. Wanker is almost always borderline. In an aggressive or dismissive manner, occasionally used with a geographical bent, i.e. you cockney wanker, only used on edgy TV shows after 9 o'clock. I had a friend who worked at a Boston hotel.
That's Megan.
And there was this English band, that's a Megan rock Kelly. Band that was in there. And he said, you guys remind me of Spinal Tap. And the guy
love
got pissed
Tap.
Off, actually jumped the hotel desk, like, you effing wanker, like attacked him. He had to run in the back room and close the door.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't like to be called compared
to...
He
didn't want to be compared to Spinal Tap?
Spinal Tap.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, but it's a joke band.
Yeah, but it's still a great movie.
They didn't want to be a joke band. Bugger, you have to be really careful using this in the right context. It can be used to show botheration. Oh, bugger is similar to Homer Simpson's dope.
Botheration?
It can be used as an endearment. He's a silly old
bugger.
Like
a Mary J. Blige song or something?
Yeah, mildly abusive. Stop
you
being
like
a,
that one, Doc,
a stupid
didn't you?
Bugger. However, you also have bugger off, which is an adult version of sod off, and on occasion...
An
it is used
version.
Correctly in the sodomy sense.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Bugger
I,
me.
I really am going to have to draw the line at sodomy. First.
There's no bugger in the Navy, buggery in the Navy. Not in our Navy, from what I hear. That congressman.
There he goes with that voice,
WC again.
That congressman that had to resign, what was his name, Macy or Massey?
Oh, Massa?
Yeah.
The guy from New York?
The guy that snorkeled. You heard about that?
Snorkeled.
Snorkeling? You know,
is this an Urban Dictionary segment?
That's an Urban Dictionary.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. He was in the Navy.
Saw him yesterday. Double G's.
Let's see. Rob writes in, I thought I'd touch base about the Julian Edelman interview that we had earlier, Patriots.com. When compared to Wes Welker, he was all kinds of humble, saying, I'm not replacing Wes. You don't replace a guy like Wes Welker. He's one of the best in the league, and I'm just a guy trying to earn a job. He seems to have a great attitude. He talked about how the offseason has helped, and he's grateful for the opportunities. He also spoke about how helpful Randy Moss has been. I like the interview, and it only boosts my feeling that Julian is going to be a good player here. I agree.
Yeah.
We've kind of all said that.
You talked a bit about the next Kevin Faulk. I consider Kevin to be the next Troy Brown. Kevin reminds me of Troy in that he is not flashy, does whatever is asked of him willingly, never in trouble, isn't a big play guy, but always gets you what you need. They exemplified the word reliable. Okay? Although, I don't know if he's the next Troy Brown, because...
If he starts playing cornerback, then I'll agree.
Torrey Holt told him that now the league has a year of film on him, and he needs to counteract that. What do you think the value of a year of film on a rookie is? I guess he... Okay, he's going back to Edelman.
He said Torrey Holt, though?
Yeah, Torrey Holt told Edelman that now the league has a year of film on him.
That's all about... That's sports in general. It's you come in and you have a certain level of ability, and then where you go from there largely depends on the adjustments made on both sides. And pitchers, throw 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and now everybody knows you're going to throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. They're going to start hitting it.
Right.
What do you do to counteract their adjustment to you, and then who has the ability to, to adjust?
Add a new pitch to your repertoire.
Right. Torrey Holt is right. Everybody knows what Edelman will do now. They know how he operates. They know his strengths. How does he counteract probably the way he'll be defended, which I'm going to guess will be a little bit differently, specifically against Baltimore, Fred?
Yep.
They didn't cover him. I don't think that'll be the case next year.
Right.
I don't think they'll say, well, we're just going to let that guy catch a couple of touchdowns.
Right.
He proved that he's good enough to make plays if you don't devote a lot of attention to him. So I think that's one of those things that goes back and forth for young players. Bill talks about that rise and how sharp, how steep the learning curve is, I think.
The year 8 jump?
Yeah.
That you and I are big fans of.
Betty Rubble's not here today, so we don't have to explain ourselves, but Eric knows what we're talking about.
Well, one thing about Edelman that I think will benefit him will be, now if we can have a healthy Wes Welker,
it'll be a different type. You know, there was no confidence in the offense last year for the first few games, and Welker went down, and then Edelman had to come in, and we were hoping that he would be the next Welker. But we won't need him, you know, knock on wood, Welker staying healthy. We won't need him to be the next Wes Welker.
Well, the question is, when so Welker gets healthy,
right,
and what will Edelman's role be?
I also think when Welker gets healthy, what will Welker be?
That's the bigger question.
Assuming Welker's back,
that's the bigger
Welker
question.
You know, what are you going to do with Edelman now? Because they're kind of the same. So what do you do with Edelman? You know,
yeah, I don't think he'll play
think
a ton. If Welker were 100% right now, I think Edelman would chip in as an extra guy.
Right.
But I don't think he would play a ton.
No. Chuck and Brighton, the Super Bowl is just an experience for fans and those being well off enough to be there. What to be warm and dry? Screw them. They can buy a nice warm coat. If there is any chance we get a leg up, provided we make it to a Super Bowl, all the better. Don't forget, any team that did not prepare for the game knowing in advance where it's played is a loser, and I want to play them. So,
I think that in a backward way, I think you're criticizing the Patriots recently, because I don't think the Patriots have been built to play in bad weather the last couple of years. The way they've thrown the ball almost exclusively and really kind of played shaky defense. Now, they've won. They've won games in December, but I don't think some of the games that they've won have been some of their better games. Do you? I mean, even though they've won some games in bad weather, I don't think that they played particularly, you know, not like certainly back in the day. And, you know, they got blistered here in January, even though it was, to steal Fred's term,
mild.
Thank you, Eric.
Well, they beat the Titans in snow, but that was a weird
game.
That was just,
I think that they would have beaten the Titans 59-0 that day. I think in any weather. That was just a mismatch from word.
The Titans weren't playing.
Tim in Baltimore.
Tim
in Baltimore says, what would be a worse Super Bowl scenario, getting from Manhattan to Giants Stadium or getting from Boston to Gillette Stadium?
I think they probably would be both bad, but I think the Manhattan.
Oh, the Manhattan. When you look
Jersey,
at the way it gets in there.
Different state.
I mean, you can. I know everybody has to funnel to Route 1 eventually, but you know, you can go around down 128 or down 93 into 95. You know,
I don't know.
It would be bad.
Route 1 would be a disaster.
The way Route 1 is after
games
here.
It was a disaster. That snow game against Oakland, Route 1 was a disaster. I was probably on Route 1 for an hour and a half that night.
But now you're talking about season ticket holders who do that 10 times a season.
Absolutely.
As opposed to these guys who come once, and it's going to be a cluster.
Yeah.
The rare great point that you make, Doc.
Plus, it's more of there's
take
more,
the rest of the show off.
There's more. It's more of a residential area, so the streets are a little smaller as you funnel into Foxborough, as opposed to the Meadowlands, which is highway exits.
And Doc's point is, you know now, when you get on Route 1, there's going to be cones set up, and there's an extra lane that you can go to that doesn't look like you should be able to, but that's in play, that third lane on Route 1.
Yeah.
People coming from out of town, little road, this must lead into the stadium, and then all of a sudden you're on it. Say you're coming from the from Boston, and all of a sudden you're on it for 3 miles.
Yep.
You're on Route 1 from 3 miles from 95 to the stadium. That's a long way to sit
in bumper to bumper
traffic and just not move.
I'll tell you guys something. Last year when they had that soccer game here, when Bendham came to the stadium, Route 1 was an absolute.
Beckham,
whatever his name is. I don't watch it.
And, but
when he came, Route 1 both ways was a nightmare. Yeah. I was just coming to try to go to Bass Pro. Oh, I love Bass Pro, by the way. I was trying to go to Bass Pro.
Yeah, he's your guy.
And forget about it. It was
computer
ridiculous.
System there?
it was a nightmare. I didn't even bother coming down.
I'd rather go from Manhattan to
Giant
Stadium.
They have a pitch website.
Any day.
Okay. Yeah,
you'd rather go where?
Manhattan to Giants Stadium. Boston to this place.
Not me. But I agree with you that it would be a nightmare. Either way would be a nightmare.
Either way.
I just think that getting through those tunnels in a snowstorm would be ridiculous.
Yeah, don't worry, because I make you go 5 hours before the game, so you don't have to worry
but
about
that's, it. You know, we brought up the Oakland game. That was a night game.
Right.
So I left ridiculously early that day. I still got here like 4 hours before the game. I was on Route 1 for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And
it
95
didn't, it didn't
to
start
here.
Snowing
no,
until
it right.
game time.
That's right.
Right around game time is when it started snowing.
Yeah.
If I recall.
Yeah, it snowed before then. But,
it was a late heavy snow.
It was a late
so
arriving
funny because
snow.
Where we sat in the press box, you could see to the lower right was where the players' wives sat. And a lot of them came in these fur coats and everything. And by third quarter, I mean, they looked like wet rats because all the
Fred
fur,
Kirsch, ladies and gentlemen.
All the fur was wet from no one. I don't think it was. Was it forecast?
I don't think it was. I don't think that was forecast to be like that.
People just and they just.
But
a mess.
Eric is right, because I remember thinking if that game was an afternoon game like it should have been, it wouldn't have been
right.
anywhere near that bad. No. It was a very late arriving storm.
Nothing at all.
Jerry, do you remember sitting out, standing out? Because back in those days, we had to wait to get in the locker room.
I didn't go out.
Oh, you didn't go out.
No. Oh. I was there, Paul.
What a mess.
I was behind. I was underneath the.
The last 5 minutes of the game.
The last
everybody,
5 minutes of the game.
All the writers would leave the press box, go downstairs, and they would stand
this tunnel.
In the back of the end
and
zone.
In the back
I
of
know
the end
it,
zone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
trying to explain it to those who don't.
To those who
you're looking
might
at
not.
Me like I didn't know.
I'm telling a story. I wanted to.
When you're getting old, you might not remember the old stadium.
And we had to stay out there for the last 5 minutes of the game, and then the entire overtime.
Yep.
And it wasn't like, you know, you're at the game. That's one thing. You know, you're dressed for it. I mean, no one's dressed for it. You know, no one had, you know, boots on, or like Eric said, it wasn't really that bad when everybody left the house.
No. And it was the kind of snow that piled up quick.
Yeah.
And didn't stop.
No.
Like it was that the whole 3 hours of the game, it was like that.
It was a memorable game. I mean, I'll give you that. It was a very, very memorable game, but I just would rather see a game played in better conditions and see who wins.
John writes in, he's an architect, and he says, when you design or build a structure, you start from the ground up. Gillette was not built to have a dome, so to retrofit one would require the reinforcement of the existing structure, including foundations, to the point where it would be cost prohibitive. The amount of lateral stresses and uplift for an area that large would be huge.
Okay.
But I thought maybe
it was just about the enclosing the end zones that Jonathan talked about.
Yeah,
not necessarily the roof. But
I thought I remember his saying that, but I'm certainly going to take the word of someone
who knows what they're talking
what
about.
What I'm thinking of is it's not actually attached to the stadium, this modular roof.
Yeah, you're, but
it
no,
fits
you're
around
arguing,
it.
But mm-hmm. you're arguing a temporary thing. Yeah. You're arguing a different thing.
And then
thing.
They take it down after the
a
game.
A Quonset hut for the stadium?
Right. Yeah.
It's something like
Quonset hut, right.
In a galaxy far, far away in the land of Star Wars, they would be able to do it.
Right, and that would be real.
Well, no, they would just use the force. They would just use the force to keep the snow and the precipitation away.
They would just have Bill do it by using the force. He would just do a Jedi mind trick.
Well,
and he would be able to do
it. Noah can build an ark that has all the animals and take it in a flood, I could build a roof for a football stadium.
And
no,
here's
but
the religion
Bill could do it.
No, you couldn't. Program.
You couldn't do it. Bill could do it just by.
Oh, Bill could do it
by using the force.
Sure. Jerry in New Hampshire, the University of Appleton, Wisconsin is Lawrence University. Downtown Appleton is noted for its numerous bars, especially for the population. Other than that, plan on ice fishing on Lake Winnebago to occupy your time.
Is that the only school, though? Lawrence University? Because I don't. That doesn't ring a bell. Does it ring a bell to you?
For some reason, I thought we were close to Madison. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think we were close to Madison.
Anyway, by the way, I've listened to you guys for years. I think at least 7.
We haven't scared you away yet?
I well remember the person whom we shall not name, for instance. Love, love, love the show. It's always best when you're all together. And, Eric, I remember how you put up with the other guys in the first year. You've really proven a knowledgeable football guy. You and Andy do a great job together on the draft coverage. Keep at it.
Thank you. You got to stop doing that.
Where is Andy, by the way?
He has Tuesdays off in this time of year.
He's taking his vacation one day at a time.
He is. He's been taking, like, Tuesdays and Fridays off.
Andrew in the Ukraine, here's what I want to know about the elements argument. Football began with no domes and mostly in northern cities. If we averaged game time, weather conditions, all of the games from early football, what would be closer, February Miami or February New York? And by the way, the average temperature for that day is 39 degrees. One more thing, it's interesting that one member of the staff isn't there, and I was able to hear all of the spirited comments without having to strain to decipher the conversation due to someone who was talking over everyone else.
I told you I wanted to make sure I was up on the football today because we might actually talk football.
Yeah.
Without Andy here on the football
show.
You're
up on the football?
I'm up on the football without the football head.
TG and NJ says Paul shows his true colors. He's not a fan of the sport. The game isn't.
I'm a huge fan of the sport. I want to see the best team win. That's all.
The game isn't played in the cold weather. It's played despite the cold weather. The game is played no matter the weather conditions, wind, rain, snow, heat. The only thing that stops a football game is lightning. Are you saying, Paulie,
I agree with that.
That all the games should be played in a dome stadium?
No.
You seem to want to make the sport antiseptic, all clean and polished. I think there is a fairly large percentage of fans that are tired of the new passing league and pine for the old running attack game with the mud and the muck.
I agree with TG.
Yeah, and I think that you're making a leap there. First of all, I'm not saying that all games should be played in domes. Although domes don't offend me the way they do the pseudo purists. You know, kind of like the pseudo intellects. Domes don't offend me. I'm not bothered by watching a game in a dome. I don't know why that bothers so many people the way it does.
I'm offended.
And I think the game has just evolved. I think that people look at... Listen, it's not 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. That's not the way the game is played. Deal with it. If that was so much better, why do people look at this as advancement?
Right.
You know why? Because people actually scout now. And people have an idea of what's coming. And it's pretty easy to stop an IV slam off tackle to the left. If you know what's coming, it's pretty easy to stop it. Right. I don't understand why that's so bad.
Eric.
That you know, teams try to score by throwing the football. What is so wrong with that?
Four against the designated hitter in baseball. Four or against it.
I don't really.
Wow, the fact that you even have to think about it tells me all I need.
I don't really have an opinion on the designated
hitter. For it, strongly.
Absolutely for it. It's better for the game. It was one of the best decisions they ever made. There's nothing more boring than seeing a pitcher occasionally get up and get a hit, but most often just swing and miss.
I like the novelty of the National League has its rule, the American League has its rule.
I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm afraid on that, too.
I like that in the World Series you get to see both in the span of those 4 to 7 games.
What is good about seeing a pitcher have no shot at
nothing.
Making
it's different.
Contact?
It's just a little different.
It's stupid.
It affects how the game is played.
If you can make a decision
the game is
that
managed.
Makes the game better, you make the decision.
You know,
forget about the purists.
You stumbled into something, too, that I'm going to use for my argument. Everybody, Eric, you've been a proponent. Well, teams should be prepared for that. And one of the emailers said, if they're not ready to knowing that the Super Bowl could be played in bad weather, then that I don't want that team. So should you say that about baseball, American League teams? They're not prepared to play with the pitcher hitting,
right.
So they shouldn't bother trying to win the World Series or whatever. It's an unlevel playing field.
Paul, why didn't you eat your tuna sandwich?
It's not mine.
Whose sandwich is that?
I don't know.
We have an extra tuna.
An extra one?
You want a tuna sandwich? Anyone want? Basil, you bought it. You want it? No?
I couldn't eat tuna if you paid me.
For the ride home to Marlboro?
Tomash thought that Andy was just ignoring his lunch.
Max in New Hampshire, I want to see elite athletes at their best during the Super Bowl, not a rugby scrum. Receivers can't make cuts or catch rock-hard footballs. It's not 2010. It's not 2010, not 1910. I think he meant it the other way. If people think that playing in horrible weather shows how tough football players are, why not play with leather helmets? We have warm weather cities and dome stadiums. Why even consider playing in horrible weather? Let's play basketball outside, too, because then only good shooters can adjust for the win.
That's another great analogy.
You know? So.
I'm with Mac.
What do you think of the Winter Classic?
The Winter Classic is fine, but I don't want to see every game being played. And by the way, the fact that the game is outside isn't really adversely affecting the way the game is played, unless it was actually snowing, in which case the game would be canceled.
I remember them.
It snowed a little bit during the Bruins game, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm talking about a snow.
They were crossing their fingers because they had forecast.
Like if it were snowing like in the Raiders game, they would have had to call it off.
There was a possibility of heavier snow, and they were prepared to postpone the game.
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. Yeah. There's no way they would play it in a substantial snow.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have time to keep it off.
And they wouldn't play it in any rain. Any rain at all.
Because that would melt the ice.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, again, I wouldn't want to see a 4 out of 7 series of Winter Classics. I wouldn't want to see the Stanley Cup decided like that, although that would be kind of funny in June.
So I guess...
We could have it right here at Patriot Place. We have a rink.
Well, at certain times of the year we do.
Yeah, we could put it up.
Yeah.
We don't have that all the time?
No.
That rink? No, that was only...
They took it down in March.
That was temporary.
Oh. Yeah.
Like Fred's temporary roof.
Good.
Why?
Just because I'm against him doesn't mean I'm always against him.
You know, the other thing we didn't talk about... was what Robert Kraft talked with Breer about was the new HD video boards coming to Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that he sprung that on Bert. I thought that might be something that we could break.
Yeah, well, we're working on him
yesterday.
Yeah, so these are going
to
be...
Doc, you probably have more info on this. It's got the info.
You're going to actually be operating these bad boys, right?
Yep.
Oh, so they're going to be broken by week two?
Wow.
We're still working on the infrastructure.
They'll be black and white. Thought it would capture.
No, they should be the largest outdoor end zone display in the NFL.
We're getting very technical.
Really, yeah, really specialized here.
You know, kind of like the best team.
So that's why you went to the Meadowlands yesterday? Because they have similar...
I was looking at the new operating system equipment that runs them. It's going to allow us to show the entire game in true high definition. Fans can expect to see live look-ins to the red zone throughout the game. Our statistics are going to be greatly enhanced, and there's going to be a designated spot for in-game stats, out-of-town scores, top performers in the out-of-town games, standings.
For you fantasy football people.
It's a smart move.
It is.
It's a smart move by the Crafts because that allows the interactive nature of the way people watch games at home now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because how many times have you heard that recently? It's so convenient to watch a game at home now. What's going to get me off my couch?
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, Doc, that you're not allowed to dip while you're operating because if that dip gets into the controls, you could ruin the whole thing.
Can you imagine, like, in the middle of the game? What happened?
There's a fire up in the control room.
I knocked over my spit cup.
Actually, we'll be running the boards out of a truck.
Maybe we should have a Doc cam during the game. So when you get that call from somebody, you
get that quizzical look for 3 hours
when he gets really flustered.
Right.
Perhaps an update on curse words.
Curse words, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
There you go. You want to come do your curse words from the TV truck?
No. I want to watch the game.
Yeah, you can't steal Fred away from us. He's gold. He's game time entertainment gold, my friend.
James from Pittsburgh. I went to the Patriots versus Buffalo game in Buffalo. It wasn't a sellout, but the traffic was horrible. Also, very few hotels and restaurants nearby to wait out the traffic, snow, or whatever.
That's because you have to drive on someone's front lawn to get there.
Yeah, Buffalo is never going to get a Super Bowl, no matter what they do.
They can give it to Foxborough, Green Bay, but Buffalo ain't getting a Super Bowl.
That's a very good point by that emailer. That is the worst NFL outpost.
Plus, you get bricks thrown at you.
No, God.
On the way in.
They throw full beers at you. I don't even have enough courtesy to drink them first.
And like frozen solid. Throw them right at the bus.
That's awesome.
Nick
not
says
it's
not
the bus.
That awesome when you're waiting for, like, you know, a window to come crashing in on you.
Let's see. Nick is from Canada, and he says anytime
casual?
I'm from Canada. Anytime I'll go to a Super Bowl where temperature is sub-zero. Well, you know, if someone gives me a ticket, I'll go anywhere, too. But we're talking about people who pay
$1,000
thousands of dollars.
And then another $1,000 to get yourself there. And, you know, who knows how much during...
When they jack up the hotel prices and the food prices and everything else. So.
I think Eric is right in the regard that he keeps saying, you know, a one-time thing I don't think would be adversely affected. I think if you did that fairly regularly, I think you would see an impact like the way you're talking
like
about.
Like if you went
and believe
New York, Foxborough, Green Bay, Seattle, if you did all those Chicago in back-to-back years, people would be like, all right, I'm sick
of
this.
The thing
but if you spread them out, there's a novelty to it.
You got to remember, too, it's the stadiums are leapfrog stadiums. You know, what's new today, 20 years from now, is going to get replaced again. And, you know, the new old ones today, they're going to be wanting new stadiums.
Right.
There's going to be a constant stream of bad weather teams are going to be asking for these games
and
you open up the Pandora's box.
And I think you're going to start seeing them retrofit or when they build new ones, add retractable roofs because they're going to like the fact that they can play outdoors. But if they want to host the big game, they close it up, keep the temperature nice and warm inside.
You're right about that piggybacking thing. You see, you know, like talking about the Celtics series in Orlando. We're going down to Orlando tomorrow night. That arena was built in 1989. It's the last year for it.
Yeah.
And even like I was just reading about Atlanta, the Falcons are already talking about that they want a new stadium.
Right.
And the Georgia Dome was built specifically to keep the Falcons there.
Right.
But they want an open-air new stadium.
Yeah.
The people, like the legislature, wants to keep the Georgia Dome, though, and make any new Falcons stadium an auxiliary to the Georgia Dome because they like the fact that they can use the Georgia Dome for other
conventions
and stuff and other things.
Right.
But the point is, these things are cyclical. For a while, all the teams were building domes.
Right.
Now all the teams want to go back to open air. Like the University of Minnesota built an open air stadium so they wouldn't have to play inside.
Right.
The Falcons want an open air stadium. All these teams are going back to wanting the open air.
Yeah. The Houston model in the Arizona, that's the way you got to go.
Yeah.
You
I think that's where it's going to end.
You got to have retractable.
Yep.
Especially
give yourself the option.
If you know, like Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's. I think they're going to regret that.
Yeah.
You know, going total open air, you know, I think that's going to be, they're going to regret that.
Joey in Southwest Florida says, hey, fellas, two questions for you. Neither question has anything to do with the Bible, immigration laws, wet dreams, man groomers, or temporary domes.
When was the last time, if ever, the Patriots had back-to-back drafts with four picks in the first two rounds? The past draft, we had 27, 42, 53, and 62 after Belichick's wheeling and dealing. Next year, we have two first-rounders, one being theoretically quite high, and two second-rounders.
And last year, we had four in the second round.
Seems to me that it is very unusual. Is that correct or not? Paul's looking it up.
I'm looking it up.
Pretty sure that's pretty unusual, but we would have 3 years in a row.
I have no idea. I don't have the slightest idea.
Nobody asked you.
And second, what is your panel's general opinion, expectations, analysis of Pat Chung last year and going forward? I'm especially interested in Paul's thoughts on Chung. So,
I think Chung will be a good special teams player, and I'm not sure he's going to be much more than that. I've been disappointed. I know I've been sort of criticized for making such a snap judgment, but I wasn't impressed with his coverage ability in training camp last year and during the preseason. I think he's better around the line of scrimmage. I think he could maybe contribute as a blitzer and maybe a run style. He's a physical player, but I don't love him as an all-around safety. And I might be judging him too harshly off of one season.
But, Paul, excuse me, you and I think we're in agreement when we watched his tape during the pre-draft process that we weren't overly impressed with his tape as a safety. We thought his best attribute was as a punt returner or special teams guy, like you said.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think he's done anything to dissuade that in his first year here.
In 1998, they had two firsts and two seconds. Home run. Robert Edwards, Tobucky Jones, Tony Simmons, Rod Rutledge. let's see here.
Who?
You heard me.
Yeah.
I know that they had some multiple first-round picks back in the day. Oh, they had 93. They had a one and three twos with Bledsoe, Chris Slade, Todd Rucci, and Vincent Brisby.
Pretty good. Not bad.
Let's see.
Say Brisby was the weak link out of there, but he had some production.
That quarterback was pretty good, though.
Not bad. Not bad.
It was all right.
You know he rocked.
Oh, boy. You go, girl.
That's right.
Jay writes in.
85.
Yeah.
A one and three twos. Trevor Maddich, Garen Veris, Jim Bowman, and Ben Thomas.
Not bad.
Not a bang-up job there either.
Nope. That Hannah draft.
82, Ken Sims, Lester Williams in the first, Robert Weathers, Andre Tippett, Daryl Haley in the second.
What's the
so
year that
two ones and three twos.
What's the year they got Hannah and Brock?
Hey,
Hannah and Brock weren't
the
same.
Haynes
was 76,
yeah.
Wasn't
in
it?
In 76, you had Haynes, Brock, and Fox in the first round, Ike Forte in the second.
Yeah.
77, you had Claiborne and Morgan in the first, Horace Ivory and Don Hasselbeck in the second.
Yeah.
So that's 2 years in a row they had four picks in the first two rounds.
The Patriots have had it quite often they've had four picks in the first two rounds.
Oh, they stunk
much
a lot
more than I thought.
They didn't have a second rounder in 73. They had three firsts but no second.
Jay writes in, why should there be different rules for regular season and postseason? Do you guys agree with changing the OT rules in the playoffs only? Teams play playoff games in cold and snow. Why shouldn't they be able to play the Super Bowl in one? Plus, do you actually think people won't go to the Super Bowl if it's cold weather? It's going to sell out no matter what.
I agree.
I think if you consistently had it in cold weather, you'd have trouble. I do.
I wanted to add this before Fred read that email in regards to Patriots draft picks.
Yeah, it's a little hot in here.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that the 49ers drafted Joe Montana with the Patriots draft pick that they traded. I believe.
Well, we can check that.
I believe.
In our media guide.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
And I think the overtime rules, I think we've said this plenty of times.
I agree with the emailer and Eric.
Yeah. There was no need to change the overtime rules in the first place. But they should be consistent. If they're going to have an overtime rule, it should be the same in the regular season and the postseason.
We didn't talk about Taylor Price signing, but James from Brisbane, Australia writes in.
Brisbane.
Just read on Pro Football Talk that Taylor Price has signed a four-year deal. Since Ted Larson also signed a four-year deal, do you think that under the new CBA, restricted free agency may be extended to four seasons? That's what it is. Oh, restricted. I don't know. I know it's early to speculate, but it seems like that might be the case. Any word on who else may be negotiating?
The draft picks?
I wouldn't worry about the draft picks.
Now a game on what,
they always sign. That's
what
why
Patriots
say that.
Will make us say things after the season. Okay, this is a game. What Patriots will make us say things after the season? The player who will be most likely to make Paul and Andy say, son of a bitch, Bill knew what he was doing with that guy, Crable or Wilhite? Have to be Crable, I think.
I don't know. I might have to say Wilhite because...
Yeah, I'd say Crable, but I don't have much confidence that I'm going to be saying that either way.
Player most likely to make Tom Brady say, if it's not that effing hard. Yes, Andy, I know that sounds dirty, hence why my pick is Dan
Torrey Holt.
Seriously, I think it will be Hernandez after doing a Galloway and forgetting where the back of the end zone is. Who will Brady say that about?
Hopefully he won't say that about anybody. Hopefully they'll all catch on the way they're supposed to.
That's not in the spirit of the game, though, Eric.
I don't want it to be in the spirit of the game. I want it to help the Patriots, Fred.
So you're
Joe Montana was taken with a pick from Dallas via Seattle.
Was it Dallas?
Yeah, not,
okay,
not New England.
I was mistaken.
Might be Jerry Rice you're thinking
maybe
of.
Maybe it was Jerry Rice.
Player that will have one heroic game early on, then disappear from then. Have an early heroic game and then disappear.
Gerard Warren.
James says Maroney.
James Sanders.
Ooh.
Brandon
Tate. That was last year.
Brandon Tate, says Paul. And disappear. That would not be good.
No, that wouldn't be good.
No.
Jerry Rice was a pick from New England.
It was? Okay, I knew it was either one or the other. I knew it was either one or the other.
Rookie who winds up on IR with a hangnail just so we get another year of having him around. Who goes on IR?
One of the old linemen.
With the Hellenic
flu.
Because
there's just not enough room for all of them, and I think they're all good enough to play.
Huh.
James says Zach Robinson.
Yeah.
I think they just put him on the practice squad if they wanted to keep
him. I don't think anyone's going to.
Plus, I think it's important to put him on the practice squad for his development.
Right.
He can't afford to sit out all year.
Even though I know that they get some work in regardless, but I don't know. Rookie?
Tom Welsh. O-line.
Okay. I think they're going to.
They did it with. Well, and then,
I think they're going to stick around on the practice squad, but yeah, I think those guys have a chance.
Just that there's so many spots. There are only so many spots, and there are so many good players at that position. I don't think there's room enough for all of them, even on practice squad and other things.
Yeah, I think Andy's boy Larson is going to make the roster, and I think Welch is going to end up in the practice squad.
Right.
Unless something happens to Matt White.
I.e.
they release him.
John writes in, he says, just about every time I write in, I try to give you guys a hard time because, Eric, take note, that's what guys do when shooting the BS. They bust each other's balls, especially if they live alternative right-wing lifestyles.
That's what friends do.
Do you live an alternative right-wing
computer guy?
Negative.
Hey,
negative.
Right-wing?
No.
You're not right-wing?
Nope. Centrist. Moderate.
Centrist, moderate.
Common sense, realist. Pragmatist.
We only watch one news station, so how could you...
It's a lot of ists.
I only watch the best.
I'm not into isms of any kind.
I suspect that my last email wasn't read because I may have crossed the line in my commentary about Fred's lack of wet dreams and Andy's laundry situation.
Well, that would have vaulted you to the top of the list.
However, my jokes weren't nearly as off color as Andy's description of his nocturnal emissions in Aftermath. I do think Andy's funny, though, like he's a clown, like he's there to amuse me.
You're the one?
Here's my latest outside linebacker rant.
Second one, because Andy's the first.
Why do we have a scheme that has no use for a guy like Dwight Freeney? At 6'1", he's too short and doesn't fit into the system. Where would we put him? I know Belichick is a defensive genius and all that, but why does he stick with, for years in a constantly changing league, a defensive scheme that needs these needle-in-a-haystack-type rare physical specimens? After the AD fiasco, it appears that search for the holy grail prototypical outside linebacker isn't panning out, although I thought we hit the jackpot after the San Diego game where he outran running backs and wideouts into the end zone. With all the teams running the 3-4, are there any more Mike Vrabels out there buried in someone's depth chart? I'm not optimistic, but am hoping that Crable can stay healthy. Hasn't he ever heard of HGH? And have a big year. And that the rookie Cunningham is a fast learner. Pittsburgh and other teams have done well with shorter outside linebackers that can just plain play. How come other teams can find pass rushers? And my wife and I finally got a babysitter and saw Avatar in 3D. It was fun. If Belichick could access that planet, he could maybe solve his outside linebacker supply problem. They're all 9 feet tall and weigh 400 pounds. Or Fred from Star Wars.
Yeah, but maybe, can they run a 4.6?
Maybe a Wookiee could step in, although I think ripping someone's arm off is a penalty.
All depends how it's done.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Wookiee doesn't have the speed. You need the speed.
Yeah, they're sort of like...
No, those Avatar bowling guys would do well.
Were they?
They're prototypical outside linebackers.
Yeah,
they're fast?
Yeah.
And I understand the point.
What's that?
The tails would get in the way, probably.
Oh, they could tie them up, you know, wrap them around their waist or something.
Am I under the impression that...
Did it change your life?
Alex, you're a big Avatar fan. I really wouldn't imagine that you've seen Avatar.
It was all right.
Really?
Didn't change your life?
Alex, what's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I'm a big movie buff, but I don't know. Probably Garden State.
Garden State. Okay, that's
I need
a quirky movie.
I need more info.
Yeah.
Need the info.
What's his name? The local guy.
Zach Braff is in that.
Zach Braff.
He wrote that.
What about
Affleck? Isn't that a Ben Affleck movie?
No.
Garden State?
No.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Jersey Girl. That was
Jersey Girl.
Kevin Smith movie.
What?
Definitely good too, though.
What was the best superhero movie ever made?
Oh, God. This is you're leading the witness.
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
All right.
Hands down, Dark Knight.
Oh,
yes!
Wow. Did you know that?
All right.
Did you know that that's how he would feel?
No, I don't know.
Alex has never listened to the show.
No, I didn't think he did, but I didn't know if maybe you had mentioned it.
There's no doubt it was the best superhero movie ever made.
And it's a travesty that we lost Joker. But
yeah.
You know, obviously, I guess this.
I really like this.
Can we have a moment of silence?
I think we need to replace Andy.
Yeah,
I agree.
No offense, baby.
I agree.
But you're being...
You want to have a movie show? You want a movie show?
Your protege.
Talk about movies?
No. Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
25 minutes.
Yeah, we got to kill 25.
We have a guy upstairs, Alex, who has seen Avatar, you know, countless times already.
He's a disciple.
Claims he's trying to get everybody else to. It's like a cult.
Right.
He's trying to get everybody in his cult. He wants us all to see it because it will change our lives.
It's communist propaganda.
I
you get that, Jody? Communist
visually,
propaganda.
Avatar was groundbreaking.
Does Jody
but I thought
to
the plot
show?
was an old plot and very predictable.
Yeah,
does Jody listen to the
make
show?
Two more of them.
I doubt
so
it,
get ready, guys.
Doesn't anymore?
Oh, really?
Wait, he's gonna make sequels?
Oh, he's already. I forget who the director is, but he
James Cameron.
He plans to do two more at least.
Ugh.
That'll be three. That'll be three movies that I'll never see.
Another question for you. The last Terminator Salvation, better than the originals?
Didn't see it.
You didn't see it? It was really good.
Terminator 2 was the best.
The Christian Bale movies?
Yeah, it was really good.
Was it?
Do you remember last week when Andy was yelling at me because I said Braveheart, I think, was a movie I'm not interested in? And I said I never said that, and he was arguing with me. Braveheart and Gladiator and those movies you said I had no interest.
Right.
Those are the movies I had no interest in. Terminator. That's what I was talking about.
I love those movies.
That I'd never seen.
They're the best. Love them.
I knew that he was wrong about that
what?
As soon as you
RoboCop.
Guys mentioned that.
RoboCop was good, the first one. The second one.
You can't even go past that.
Yeah, you can't go past that.
No, then they become ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you never see Braveheart and Gladiator?
No, I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Andy was trying to make it out to be that I never wanted to see them, and then I finally saw them and I liked them, saying I didn't. I knew that wasn't the movie.
Did you hear about the Happy Roman?
Oh, God.
You know what?
He was Gladiator.
We've been so busy. Oh, that's a good one. I thought you were talking about something. We've been so busy with work, you know, so crazy since, like, Thanksgiving.
What are you doing with this Roller Palace?
Roller Kingdom?
Yeah, what's going on? Roller Kingdom.
We do a lot of private events. A lot of, you know, the spring vacation, April vacation, was double the business that we've ever done.
Well, that's good.
Do you have the full contact roller derbies with
No, not at our rink.
He would if Will was there, he would. Is Alex making it so like you don't actually have to get up and skate? You can just, you know, put on glasses or something and do it
virtual skating? We're in the works on that.
All right.
Yeah, we're hoping. Down the road, you know.
Virtual skating.
You need to hold on to this guy, Basil.
No, he's good. He's good. He's my protege.
Okay.
Do you have anything for a 40-something-year-old balding fat man that, you know, I could ride your coattails on? I think this guy's going places. I think he's going to be a millionaire by 25. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
That's
Are you already a millionaire?
I hear that.
Yeah, he's already a millionaire.
Times a week, but thank you.
Are you already a millionaire? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I wish.
Am I insulting you by calling you just a millionaire?
I have no money. Let's just put it this way.
Okay. So you're not buying lunch now?
Are you a Star Wars fan?
Oh, yes, definitely. Seen them all, loved them all. First three better than the next three.
Oh, you thought the first three were better than
four through six.
Yes. Those are the first ones.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
Right.
I totally agree with you, but sometimes...
But there are certain...
I have to say three was the best.
No, two.
You can leave. Let's just put it that way.
Empire Strikes Back.
He really can replace Andy.
He's going places.
No, I... I mean,
wait a minute. You're saying Return of the Jedi was better than Empire Strikes
the
Back?
The last one that they made.
No, whatever the last
the
one.
End, the
Phantom
end.
Menace and the other ridiculous
when Darth
nonsense.
Vader was created.
Oh, episode three.
Yeah, episode three.
Yeah, I remember what the names of them.
Well, that was the best of the. That was the best of the new three.
It's the best of the new three, and I think it was, you know, better than the others.
Empire Strikes Back. Come on.
You know,
Fred.
Just, you know, just I don't know.
Fred, Empire.
Empire was good. It was good.
It was the best of them.
They're all good.
Wow. You know?
I thought
I'm partial to Jedi, but that's me.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I have a.
I'm partial to porn.
I have a lightsaber app on my iPhone.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh no, he is that geek.
Yeah, he is.
Tom in Exeter, United Kingdom. A while ago, he says, "Dear men and artists of PFW, who would that be?"
That's you.
Well, they shouldn't use the plural.
A while ago, I emailed in praising the work of one Fred Kirsch and how the show is undoubtedly worse off without his presence. However, the past few months have led me to believe that Fred is really ready to call it a day. The now legendary F-bomb at the start of the draft show, upsetting those who believe in God, and his sign-off last Thursday were, without doubt, hilarious, but unfortunately inappropriate. So what's the deal? Do the crafts no longer listen to the show? Maybe that is why Eric didn't get a mention from Jonathan. Or is Fred ready to turn off his mic for good, knowing Fred, he'd probably turn it on for once, and live out his days wearing a tight Batman shirt and nothing else, playing with his nut wizard?
Oh.
I hope the latter is not the case. Great work as always. Once I finish being a student and start earning a living, you will definitely have another overseas subscriber.
Oh, excellent.
Good.
So that's Thomas.
Numbers are going up, Freddie.
Yeah, it is. We need to insult more people. Because apparently that helps.
Evidently, we only lost one subscription in that whole fiasco.
Yeah.
And you know what? So you started this Star Wars.
I'm renewing my subscription in spite of not getting it all the time.
Are you not getting it all on time?
At all or on time?
I wasn't getting it on time. I would
in Marlboro?
In Marlboro.
Oh, my God.
I would go a week. I was calling Carol a lot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I would. I just wouldn't get it, and I didn't get it.
I'm just going to put her in a car and have her bring it to you. I'm serious. I mean, we print the damn thing Monday night. There's no reason somebody...
It really is a sobering thing, knowing that I know that the listeners don't want to hear this, but what we go through after games to get it to the printer so quickly.
Right.
And then finding out that people that are within a half an hour of the stadium aren't getting it
right
on time.
You know what's funny? There's a grocery store that is within minutes from where I live. I could go and buy it at the store before I ever got it in the mail.
Sure, because they get it Tuesday morning.
Well, I don't mind it, though. It's funny.
Oh, God.
You know?
Bill and Vale.
Well, you should stop buying the one in the supermarket as well as your subscription.
I never bought it.
Just in case.
Hey, right. Guys, and the Boxer Bandit. Got to thinking the other day, if Belichick won the Super Bowl with Castle in 08, what would have that done to the Belichick and Brady legacy? Obviously, you could then say Belichick was the greatest coach ever, but how does it affect Brady's status both on the team and in New England? What if that happened? I mean, it's a hypothetical.
I mean, it certainly would have.
But
I'm not sure how much higher Belichick can get, because I think a lot of people already consider him the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
Well, we didn't even talk. Yeah.
But I don't know what it would do to Brady. I'm not sure that Brady. I mean, I guess you can make an argument that Brady might look, you know, a little. But I mean, I think it would say a lot for Castle
more than
it would say against Brady.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, how can you say anything against Brady? I mean, come on, he's done it. He's done it
three times in
the most clutch of situations. He's done it. It wasn't just luck.
And it should have been four.
Paulie, we got pretty serious around here about wiffle ball. The pitches are all about grip and ball speed, but you would know that, Mr. Hall of Fame. I'd strike any of you guys out anytime, any day.
No question.
Colorado.
I've watched some of those games and stuff, and I'm not making fun of the fact that it's the ability to play it. I don't want to play wiffle ball with fast pitch because I think it's all strikeouts.
I've seen those videos on YouTube. It's ridiculous. Those balls are unhittable, and they're called strikes.
Oh,
because
no.
They hit the chair.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And you can't even see the ball.
No.
Mike is obviously.
I like watching Fred swing and miss at slow balls. That's wiffle ball to me.
Mike is from Erie, and he's definitely a Pittsburgh disgruntled fan. He says the Patriots can now broadcast the coordinators in HD. They can have a dedicated camera on each one.
So we're going to have a picture of Bill?
No, I mean the opposing coordinators.
Oh.
Oh, I
see.
That went right over my head.
Sorry.
James, Jim in Detroit, having a Super Bowl in cold weather could
not
be a cause
one
for disaster. The Raiders' past playoff game always comes to mind. Football should be played in the best possible conditions. That way, there would be no room for error in determining the best team at the end of 60 minutes. However, I feel like having a Super Bowl in Florida has become rhetorical. How about a Super Bowl in Louisiana or Carolina, maybe even Denver?
We've had Super Bowls in Louisiana.
Well, I wouldn't want one in
10
Denver.
Times.
Oh, that's for sure.
Denver.
Wasn't that one in Louisiana right there?
Super Bowl, whatever that is?
Which one's that? Yeah, the Superdome. Right.
Yeah, I like New Orleans, Arizona, L.A., and Miami. Good four-city rotation. How's that? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can add Vegas to that. That'd be sweet.
Well, I think Vegas as a permanent home would be really cool, but I don't think the NFL would ever.
They don't want to
be a little hypocritical.
I saw this on something. The NFL won't do any games in Vegas because they don't want to make that connection.
Yeah, so they
gambling and football go hand in hand. So
it's a naive little crutch that they use, although I will say the NBA had the All-Star game in Vegas a couple years ago, and it was a disaster. I don't know if that's just because of the culture in the NBA with all the entourages and stuff, but I got to think that you'd have similar stuff in any sport. You know, any sport that you try to do that, you'd have everybody flocking to Vegas. And
right. Yeah, but didn't Ray Lewis kill a guy at a Super Bowl party in Atlanta?
That was in Atlanta.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I guess it's going to happen anywhere.
I agree.
He wasn't there. He didn't even see what
Richard
happened.
Seymour's not in the Patriots anymore. We don't have to apologize. He got really mad at us.
Yeah. Nano writes in, and he says to Alex, Garden State, it's time to send the guests out on the stadium tour.
Come on, it's an amazing movie.
I don't know if it's amazing.
Oh.
I've never seen it.
What were you, like 12 when you saw it?
I never even heard of it.
How old were you when you saw it?
I've rewatched it millions of times, probably.
Right, so. But if the first time you saw it, you were in your 20s, I don't think you'd think it was that amazing.
You think I was in my 20s when I first saw it?
No, earlier. I thought you were younger.
He's barely in his 20s now.
He said if...
I'm 19.
Right. He said if the first time you saw it, you were in your 20s.
If the first time you saw it, you were in your 20s, you wouldn't think it's so amazing.
Yeah, probably not. But it just, you know, it's a connection you find with a movie. And I don't know. I really liked it. What's it about?
Did you see the...
All right, Jersey? Sorry, guys. Yeah, it's a love story. and you know, it's just the guy has, you know, problems in his head and, you know... He finds a connection with the person that actually makes him feel, you know, decent without his medication. So, yeah, it's a big, elaborate story.
Did you see the one,
you Johnny Cakes,
something in the sperm whale?
What?
No. It was a movie like Garden State. And I think it came out around the same time. It was about a kid whose parents got divorced and... It was something in the sperm whale. I know one of our listeners will know. Same kind of quirky type of movie.
Doc, IMDb, sperm whale.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I don't know. There are a bunch of movies that came out around that same time that were all like playing off that heat.
Right.
Because there are people who are like, you know, I like Garden State, but people just love that movie. Like they will say that like the soundtrack is like the greatest thing of all time. The writing is amazing. Why isn't there a sequel to it? There shouldn't be a sequel to it. I don't know why you could even put a sequel to it. But, like, I like the movie. It's definitely an amazing movie, but, yeah.
My problem with those kind of movies is that people in real life, kids those at age, are not that introspective. They don't talk that way. They're not that, you know.
Yeah.
West Wing?
It's so forced. It's kind of like a kid's version of that type of talking.
Do you remember when we used to make fun of West Wing and Brian Morey would get really mad at us?
Right.
That's the way they talk in the White House.
Right. You know, so, I don't know.
You're so full of it.
It's like, you remember that there was a movie that was a big hit with adults, the Big Chill?
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
I remember the Big Chill.
I hated that movie.
Highly overrated.
People don't act that way.
It's highly overrated movie.
I just hated that movie. It was just so pretentious.
I had a girlfriend in college that got mad at me because I had never seen it.
Yeah. So then how did you hate it?
Well, then we ended up seeing it.
Oh, okay.
That was a big bone of contention.
You have to watch it. You have to see it.
So right. Just out of spite, no matter what, you were going to say you didn't like it.
Probably. I'm not going to lie to you. You know me very well. And you know that that's what would have happened.
It could have been the Ted Williams story. He would have said, I hate it.
It could have been the Reggie Lewis story.
Right,
and
right.
I would have said, I hate it. But I didn't like it. But I know Fred. No one in Foxborough knows me like Fred Kirsch does. He's absolutely right. I would have hated it no matter what.
No, but you had a reason.
But I didn't like it.
Yeah, it's terrible. Connor and Island. Avatar's plot is the exact same as Pocahontas. Doc type Avatar is Pocahontas into Google, and you'll see what I mean. Pretty sure you'll find it in Google Images. No, it's a It's a story that's recurred many times in literature, and it was very unpredictable, I thought.
3D added to it. If you saw it in 3D, it's 10.
I did see it in 3D, and midway through it, I forgot I was seeing it in 3D. I am not a big fan of 3D.
I'm not either.
I think once in a while, but
I'm agreeing with Fred way too much.
But
I know.
These 3D TVs, to me, it's a fad. It's not.
I'm hoping it catches a little fire because I want to upgrade my regular TV. Just one HD, nice flat screen. Figure those prices will come down a little bit more when the 3D TVs get a little bit more popular, and I'm ready.
I can't see 3D anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh,
even with the glasses,
right?
I'm blind in this eye.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Actually,
the squid in the whale.
A week after I started listening to the.
Where'd you get the sperm one?
You never heard the squid? Who's in the squid in the whale?
Is it animated?
No. It's one of those quirky, offbeat, independent films.
Owen Klein, Jeff Daniels, Laura Linney, William Baldwin.
I'll have to go check it out.
I think you would like
Maybe
that
it's on
movie.
Netflix.
I think you'll like it. You know, it wasn't a bad movie. It was a little, like the kids are smarter than the adult type movie. You know?
The kids are smarter than the adult type movie. Yeah. I like that.
But like I was saying, a week after I started listening to the show, a writer wrote in with an email saying, comparing who would you rather have, Willie McGinnis or Roosevelt Colvin, is like saying, who would you rather have, Willie McGinnis or eye cancer? I can honestly say you'd rather have Roosevelt Colvin instead of eye cancer. So I'll go on the record and say that.
Okay.
That writer, that guy was wrong. You would not choose eye cancer over.
I'll take your word for it.
Roosevelt.
Sam in Chicago wants to know what happened to Andy's voice. he's turned into Basil.
It's Basil.
It's gotten better.
Have you guys watched Lost?
No.
Alex, you never watched it?
I've never seen Lost.
I know you did.
Or 24.
I'm with you, Fred. Never. Either one.
It's so confusing.
It was confusing, but
they don't even talk.
You didn't like Lost, huh? You didn't watch it? You never watched it?
Tell the truth, yeah.
Basil, no?
I've never seen Lost. I don't
Doc,
watch a lot of
Doc, you a Lost
TV.
Fan?
Never got into it, no.
Unbelievable.
But I heard Michelle's review of the
Michelle didn't like it
finale.
More than I didn't like it.
24, on the other hand, big fan.
And was Jeff very Bauer disappointed. Fan. Were you disappointed in the way Lost ended?
I wasn't disappointed only because I was not expecting a thing.
Oh, okay.
Gilligan's Island 2.
Dream sequence?
That's what I heard.
No. No.
Did they have a Marianne?
I don't know.
I'm watching.
They had some reasons to watch, as they say.
Was Lost ending predictable?
Evangeline Lilly's pretty hot.
Better than the Sopranos ending?
Oh, my God.
Was it predictable, though?
Yeah, it was predictable. I don't think it was as good as the Sopranos ending.
Oh,
you
wow.
The Sopranos ending was good?
No.
Sorry. Yeah.
No,
misunderstood that there.
I think that a lot of the produce. I mean, it makes no sense. You guys didn't see it, so there's no sense. A lot of things that the people that were responsible for Lost, J.J. Abrams and those, they insisted along the way that it wasn't this, it wasn't that, it wasn't the other thing. And basically it turned out to be everything they said we didn't have to worry about. You know, it was a lot of purgatory, a lot of souls, you know, it was basically lost
I've
souls.
Never seen
the Lost was really their souls.
So
these
they
people
were in purgatory?
Lost their souls.
They were in purgatory?
Somewhat, yeah.
Oh, so they were all dead?
Not the whole time. They claim that what happened on the island was real. But they don't explain what happened on the island, why things happened on the island. And, you know.
So what happens at the island?
I like the show. I think the show was clever in a lot of ways. And I like the show. But, you know, you just mentioned that it's an age-old story that's been retold millions of times.
Yeah.
All the themes in Lost are
really
nothing too deep. It's all biblical. It's all good versus evil. It's,
right.
You know,
so do they go to heaven?
Adam and Eve.
After purgatory?
You know, Were they found?
Yeah. Their souls. No. Were they found? Well, did they go to heaven?
Here's a movie I want to talk to Alex and Basil about because you guys are buffs. And it was a Steven Spielberg movie. I think one of his most underrated movies, A.I.,
Jaws?
No, AI. I just said it. Do you ever see it?
I know.
No. You never saw AI?
I saw AI. I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of preachy, but
Jude Law.
See, I really liked it.
Jude Law.
I thought when
right?
All the themes were old. It was very biblical, and it was old themes. But I thought the way it was presented was really, really cool.
No, it was a really good movie. I liked it a lot, but I thought it was really preachy.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Did you ever see Knowing?
No.
It's the Oldman preaching movie. It's good though. It's good. It's like, you know, world disaster type deal thing. But yeah,
right.
It's good. You know, it's along the same lines of that. Yeah.
I'm not deep enough for those movies.
You don't even have to be deep.
I have no intelligence. All I know is sports.
See, I love movies.
And my knowledge of that is pretty basic
that,
there.
You know, go into those themes and the whole thing. Because the thing I loved about AI is, well, I don't want to give it away for people, but at the end.
I know it's only been out for
the Allen Iverson story.
Someone might have it on DVR.
What you actually witnessed was the creation of the next form of life on Earth.
Yeah, that was knowing, essentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Knowing it. Who was on that? Nicolas Cage? Yeah, I think so.
I might have seen that. I don't know. Maybe
it's recent.
You've seen?
That's the one where he can predict things that were happening, right?
No,
and he tells the girl to get off the train or whatever,
right? Yeah, yeah.
How about The Life Aquatic, Alex? You ever see that?
Oh, Paul.
My brother told me not to watch it.
The Life Aquatic. I thought that was pretty funny. I liked it.
I love that movie.
I like
my brother.
Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson.
I've seen that movie like 4 times.
About Rushmore.
Rushmore was also excellent. And what was the other one? What was the other one? There's another one. The one on the train was horrible. Do you agree?
Which one?
You're talking about Wes Anderson movies, right? Rushmore was one. The Life Aquatic was another one.
I love it.
And then there was the other one, and it had Bill Murray was the dad, and he was...
Oh, awful. When he's in China?
Lost in Translation?
No.
That was a terrible movie.
Lost in Translation?
Yes. You liked it? Oh, my God. He's looking at me like...
If you can check
out... He's making IMDb a list right now, and I'm on it.
You must hire him.
I just tore his heart out, I think. You don't like Lost in Translation? I thought it went nowhere.
Good.
There was no advance.
You're talking about the one where Bill Murray was really old and he was like he had like white hair.
That was Christmas Carol.
He was a bellhop and his daughter was Gwyneth Paltrow and it had like all the whole cast.
I know what you're talking about.
But I can't think.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, okay. That was a good movie.
Is great.
That was a good movie.
But then what was the one on the train? It was the Hindu.
Throw mama from the train?
Hindu something. It was a Hindu word, I believe. They were on a train.
Kama Sutra?
It was horrible.
Kama Sita.
When I was 14.
All right. No. Royal Tenenbaums was along those lines of the quirky type of offbeat.
Right.
Yeah. I like that movie. That was pretty good.
Jason Schwartzman. Who was in Rushmore.
Too, yeah.
Who's his mother?
No idea.
Mrs. Schwartzman.
I was just going to say to you, Mrs. Schwartzman.
Famous mother, Jason Schwartzman.
Schwartzman.
Talia Shire.
That's a hard one to say.
Yes.
Talia Shire.
Jason Schwartzman.
She is in my ultimate all-time favorite movie, Rocky. Oh, can't beat
that's
it.
That's your ultimate all-time favorite
Ultimate movie? All-time. You can't beat it.
I didn't even know that.
Listen, I don't want to see you scoffing at someone having Rocky as their all-time
who
favorite
Who said
movie.
I scoffed?
Oh, you kind of.
Who said I scoffed? I'm going to throw this empty paper cup at you, Perot.
He did. Thank you, Basil. You gave the pseudo-intellect scoffing look on your nose.
That's inaccurate.
Quite a look for you.
That's inaccurate.
I didn't see it.
What'd you say?
I see
Rocky?
There. I nose dig.
Rocky is the perfect movie to me because it's about the little guy getting a shot and he doesn't make it. It doesn't have the typical
Eric's football career.
But you know what? That's my favorite part. My favorite aspect of Rocky. Is that he lost?
He lost. And when he gets it in, two, it's like, oh, okay, you know,
great movie. Too, the reason but not as good as one.
The reason I expressed a little surprise because I thought you were going to say Godfather.
Oh
well,
no!
When you said Talia Shire, I assumed you were going to say Godfather.
Oh, Adrian,
that's the only reason I shrugged.
Godfather is a great movie, and I would say it's better than Rocky. But nothing wrong with Rocky being the all-time greatest movie.
Rocky, that's the American spirit right there, to me.
It was a great movie, and to think that the guy wrote it. Stallone in a weekend. He wrote that movie in a weekend.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. I know that he was shopping it around to everybody and nobody wanted it. Yeah. They thought it was going to be a bust.
He wanted help. Nobody wanted help.
I thought people wanted it, but he wanted to. He insisted on starring in it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I know that they didn't want
to. I don't know if that's
reason.
Accurate, but that's what I've always heard. Might be one of those urban legends.
Anyway, we'll end the show with Tracy in Vegas, who says, I watch a lot of TV. Lost was one of the best shows of all time.
Lost was
says.
It was very different. Fred, I can't believe – I know for a fact, Fred,
yes.
If you had seen this, you would think about it the way you think about those lame movies.
You're right.
You
I probably
about.
Would have because I like looking at the underneath story to the – you know.
Get it on Netflix.
I like
very,
it.
Very, very deep, Fred.
No, I like it when writers layer their stories.
Although I think they claim it's deep. I don't really think – I mean, there's a lot of unknowns to Lost.
Paul.
And I watched 6 seasons of it, and I still have 1,000 questions that are unanswered to me.
So it turns
out... Maybe people that are smart, they know the answers to those questions.
So hey, answer,
did you see Memento?
Answer me this.
No.
It turns out they were in purgatory.
How can you call
but
you
not
a whole time? Buff?
But what happens at the end? Do they
you don't like,
purgatory?
Well, you haven't seen Memento. That's one of the best independent films of the last 20 years.
He's always telling me I haven't seen any of the movies.
There's so many movies that I got him under my wing. I'm trying to get him to watch more movies.
Get a subscription to Netflix and go watch some movies.
After you get a subscription to Patriots Football Weekly. 1-800-494-PATS.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I want to thank Basil and
gonna
Alex
be broke by the time he's 25.
By, especially for lunch and renewing a subscription.
Thank you, guys,
and,
very much.
And as everyone else, we'll see you on Thursday.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in Progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com Radio.
The best is yet to come.